Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 51 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 50 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 50 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 50 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 57 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 47 degrees.
W8FU.
K8RUH, you are up and at 'em this morning.
I am, and I'm taking a different route in, for better or worse. Heading south on DeQuinder, heading for the freeway.
Ah, well, you're early enough that it should be a neutral experience.
Connected to CMN Network.
I think it's actually about the same time, but it just feels longer because I got to drop down a mile and a half, you know, or so, you know, and then I got to come back up and make that back up, and, you know, so it feels a little longer, but time-wise, it's just about dead equal.
Yep, that makes sense. It's, keep moving, hopefully, on the expressway when you're on the expressway. Are you, do you have a stop, or you're just taking a different route?
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw I was a little early, and I said I'm going to take the southern route, and I'm thinking about stops that I can make, Starbucks stops that I can make. I can get off there at... a couple of spots along 94, grab my coffee, or I can take it right up to 59 and go to that one right there. But Meanwhile, my brain's thinking, is there any place better or different to go? And I'm coming up blank.
Yeah, I don't have any suggestions for you. I am, my coffee connoisseur ends at Starbucks, typically. I'm not overly involved. I enjoy a good cup of coffee, but don't often seek one out beyond Starbucks.
Quick comment for the Road Warrior. Well, go ahead. Good morning. I don't know when it goes into effect, but eastbound I-94 between Masonic and Harper, alongside the golf course on one side and that swamp on the other, that's going to be some road construction. I don't know exactly when I saw it at 5 o'clock this morning when it starts, but if you're going to go up that way in the morning, it's not a problem, because traffic is actually going the other way. There's a heavy traffic, but if you're going to do it this morning, don't be surprised if there's some work in that area or for the future considerations for the next week. W8RCY, and good morning, gentlemen. Well, okay, we'll see. I'm just getting out of the freeway now, so. Is that one of them Michigan words that that we use? Nobody else does freeway, expressway, highway, all the different names. What do you say? Is this the freeway to you, or you got some other name for it? Yeah, as far as Starbucks is easy, you know, so, you know, you always know you can get what you need. I like a lot of places. They're not the best, but they're pretty good. They're right up there. I'd like to see Caribou come back. Anthony?
I think I call it the freeway, the highway, and the expressway. I don't know that I'm biased on any one of those in particular. And, yeah, Caribou back would be pretty nice. There's also a company called Dutch Bros, and they are apparently making a run at Starbucks going west to east. So maybe we'll start seeing some of those. I saw some of those when I was out in Colorado, and they're supposed to be really good coffee.
I remember Caribou being built across the street from my Verizon store at 13, between 13 and Normandy on Woodward, and I didn't care for their coffee. Definitely put hair on my body that I didn't want around in certain parts, I guess. That stuff was just way too strong. I used to travel up to the Java Hut in Birmingham, next door to the old Birmingham Theater when I was working at the Verizon store out there. And that was my place for coffee back then, but unfortunately it closed, and Sean would be familiar with it. The original Java Hut in Ferndale is still open, but that was my place. And as far as freeways, as you both know, I don't drive much, but I think the freeways now should be called the Autobahn, especially on 696 and 96, where, you know, freeway speeds are 70, people are doing 80, 90, pretty close to 100 now, so I would call it the Autobahn. Sean? Well, I notice we all tend to default to freeway, so I just wonder if that's one of the Michigan things. So I kind of reserve highway for surface, high-speed surface divided roads. And but expressway I don't know where I use expressway. It's just harder to say than freeway. It's extra syllable. You know what I think of it for expressway? The Lodge or Davidson. Those are expressways. Everything else is freeway. I don't know. Yeah, I guess freeway is what I use. I've been seeing a lot lately on us Michiganders are words that we use that nobody else uses, and I guess we have an accent. It's very distinguished, you know, distinguishable from others. People pretty much nail it. And I noticed that back in when we were doing Dayton a lot, Dayton would bring in people from all over the country and even all over the world. And people would nail it. You know, they'd say, are you from Canada? They'd say a lot, or they'd say Michigan. And we don't hear it, but they hear it. So go figure.
You know, I was thinking, because there's been a couple people talking about how on the radio how they're going to Dayton. I think maybe next year I'm going to have to plan on going. I've never been, and I think it would be pretty neat to go.
I would have interest in just attending a local hams thing, like out in Troy or something like that, before I do something like Hamfest, because I'm not, you know, my radio is limited to basically UHF stuff and local and just expanding what I would normally get in normal local UHF radio. But I would like to go to just one big event out this way in the Midwest, just to see it, just to experience it, not really to purchase anything. I'm pretty much set on what I want, but just like I say, the experience to say that I've been there. One thing I did after my father first passed away, he was buried at Arlington, and to walk all those monuments in Washington, D.C., was something to behold, and something like a ham fest in Dayton or other big ones that they have would be just kind of like that for me, just to have the experience. Sean? So I've never been to Xenia, but I've been to, you know, when it was in Dayton, I was I went a number of times, and it is an experience. And I understand Xenia is different, but it's also, you know, quite the experience. I would highly recommend it. Although, like I said, I haven't been to Xenia, so I'm talking from my memories of Dayton. And, you know, they still call it Dayton, of course. Xenia's a suburb, I guess, but I would highly recommend going if you can make it, Anthony. And Donald, it depends on how much you're up for, right? Dayton is a commitment. You know, to do Dayton in a day is exhausting and very difficult. People do it, but it's a lot of driving. And, I just don't feel that it would be worth it. You gotta go at least 2 days, you know, and spend the night and all that. Now, if you want the next best experience closest, I'd say you're not going to have the manufacturers there, and you're not going to have as many vendors there, but Monroe is probably the next one. Now, Monroe, you can get down there, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, spend the whole day, get home. It's a long day, but it's very doable. So I would recommend if you can get Monroe, you know, under your belt. And if you want to go local, the Lons Cruise, by the way, Monroe is on Father's Day. Then there's the Lons Cruise, which I think is in December, up at the, on 16 Mile Road, John R. Rochester, somewhere out that way, which is close, and you can take that and spend as much or as little time as you want. And that's probably the next, the good one right around here.
From what I've been to, the best one local is Livonia. They had a new venue this year, and it was a pretty good-sized show, definitely bigger than the Lons Cruise. But the Lions Cruise is super local and easy to get to.
At 8 DBF.
Good morning, Dakota.
Dakota, go in after Anthony, and then I'll jump in after you. And good morning to you. Go ahead, Dakota.
Morning, guys. I was looking for my flashlight, so a little bit late today. Thought I lost it when I was out hunting last night. and it was sitting above the radio on my truck, so added 10 minutes to my day. Just making my way in. I don't know what the rotation is. I was listening a little bit before I ran into the gas station, but I think it might go to Donald and Sean. If I'm wrong, my bad.
No, now that you found your flashlight, you got it right. It's me, Sean, Anthony, you, get back to me. Sean, thank you for the advice and the tips. Anthony, same thing there. Dakota, we're talking about these ham fests like Dayton and things like that, and we're talking about local ones when you jumped in. Yeah, so I appreciate that information about Monroe, Livonia, things like that that I could do in a day. But as far as bonsai runs to something like Dayton, twice a year I do these crazy bonsai runs. I got them coming up next month when I go down to Indy for the Indy 500. That's two weekends in a row, followed by the Detroit Grand Prix. And so that's three weekends of racing, but two bonsai trips to Indianapolis. And the only reason why I do them is because I'm probably the only guy young enough to still drive it nonstop and see where I'm going now that I've had the eye surgery. And then at Christmas time, I do the crazy Trans-Siberian Orchestra bonsai run to Chicago and Detroit. And I say Chicago and Detroit because it's either Detroit to Chicago or Chicago back to Detroit to see four shows in the course of 2 days in the dead of winter. And this past winter, to make a long story short, on the road at 4 o'clock the day after Christmas in the morning, and it didn't end till after midnight the morning of the 20th, you know, 2 days later, whatever that was, like the 27th or whatever. And I do all the driving, pretty much. So, yeah. So bonsai runs are not uncommon for me to do still. I just can't do them every day like some people would have to do for work, like Tom and Joe. Sean, go ahead.
All right. Morning, Dakota. I just cleared the construction here on 94. Yeah, it's from as soon as you pretty much get on eastbound, the barrels are all over the place, and they still got barrels all the way. I'm all the way up at Harper right now, and there's still barrels, but they're not deployed. They're all along the side of the road. So, yep, looks like there's going to be some construction here. Not too bad though. I'm flying along pretty good, 68 mile per hour. So, man, the barrels are still lined up north of Harper. So whatever they got planned for a long stretch here. And, yeah, Livonia, I forgot. I didn't forget about it. I just was thinking, like, you know, far, you know, closer and then closest. And that falls in a, it's kind of like, it's not quite Lance Cruz close, but worth it. It's you could run over, you know, you could just get up on a whim, run over there, take it in, and then get home, and that would be an easy day. So, don't forget about Livonia, good one there. But circling back to what started it all, Xenia, yeah, I really got to go too, Anthony. I've heard that the food's a lot better, that they got a really excellent number of food trucks and vendors, and the manufacturers all show up to that one, so you can see generally what all the manufacturers have planned under the, you know, coming up, and there's often good deals on new equipment, and then the flea market's just unreal. So I recommend it. It can be done in a day, but that's really tough, you know, so I don't know that I would recommend that. Anthony, W8 if you...
I'll be right back, guys.
I'll pick it up. I need to go to a ham fest to get rid of some of my freaking gear. I think I'm going to drop the price on that FTM-150 again if anyone wants one.
Well, again, I appreciate the help, the tips, and the advice of which ones to go to. Just to, like I said, the main thing is I'm not looking to talk around the world. I'm not looking to buy big desktop equipment. But I just want to go to one, see what's out there. I mean, it's like me going to SEMA, the auto shows that they have for SEMA. And I mean, you go to an auto show, like, well, the Detroit Auto Show isn't as good as it used to be. It's not with the North American International Auto Show flair that it used to have. My last couple of years that I went, even when it was outdoors, I was disappointed. But if you get a chance to go to the Specialty Engineering Manufacturing Association show, known as SEMA, those are the ones to get to, and I've been fortunate with my time in racing to get credentialed and go. That's where you see a lot of car crazy stuff, you know, and it's also the PRI show, Professional Racers Industry or Professional Racing Industry show in Indianapolis. The only thing wrong with that is it's in the dead of winter, and I don't feel like driving. I've gone a couple times, but driving now in the winter, nah, I don't want to do it anymore. So, I do like the big shows, though, but, yeah, for me to attend a ham fest somewhere, I just want to go just to experience, see what's there, meet some people I've talked to on the radio locally, so on and so forth. Sean?
Yeah, well, in the end, then, like I said, you gotta take something in. Livonia would be a really good choice for you know, a day one. I don't remember when that one is. I think that's a fall show. But seasons usually fall to spring. There's not a lot of summer shows, obviously. People are busy doing summer things. But anyhow, FCM-150, if I remember correctly, that's the dual-bander FM only, right? And what's something like that fetch? I absolutely don't need one, and I'm not looking. I'm just curiosity got me. It's a good looking radio. I think it goes to Anthony first, though.
88WOJ.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I just got grabbed some gas and on my way. But Dakota, I don't know if anybody covered. One, what were you hunting? And two, all this Dayton talk, maybe we have to make a plan, you and I, to run down there next year, see what we can do. It'd be pretty fun.
Morning, Rick. I got you in there. I'll get you coming after me. And Anthony, I got recruited by someone in the iHeart Armada Facebook group. She got posted looking for the guy that used to shoot groundhogs for this farm, blah, 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 and I guess she's pretty persistent. I no longer have Facebook because I literally cannot deal with it anymore, and my old neighbor kept sending me her screenshots and sent her my number, and she called me. So I was shooting groundhogs. She's got foxes killing her chickens and coyotes, as well as raccoons and rats, so I'll be busy there for a while. And yeah, I would not mind going down to Dayton for a weekend or a two-day or whatever. Makes me wish I still had my camper, because that would be the ultimate photo Dayton rig. We could just go set up shop and hang out there and whatever. And Sean, the 150, I think new with a Mars mod, you're like 400 shipped. I have it posted for 250 with the Mars mod and the micro SD, and I thought for sure that thing was going to go in an instant, because it is a good radio. It's just a dual-band analog, but it's got that ASP chip in it, which I thought was a gimmick, but actually surprised me. It works really well. So I just have no use for it whatsoever anymore. I don't want to make another bag, but it's looking like that might happen. I don't know why that's a tick of mine, but I got that, the 2730, and I don't need both. So 150 is going to go because I'm partial to my icons. Rick, go ahead, pick it up. NADBF.
Good morning, fellas. Just wanted to hop in and say good morning. I haven't talked to any of you in quite a few days there, so just thought I'd say howdy. And Dakota, you, bless you, you are the varmint king, and I'm jealous. But a better, I can't think of a better way to spend your time than dispatching varmints there. Enjoy it while you can. KEWOJ, and I'm not sure where it goes after that.
Morning, Rick. It's Donald, W-A-R-C-Y. I lost my train of thought. guys, I don't know.
I'll skip this route, come back around. Sean, over to you.
Okay, well, morning, Rick. Yeah, Dakota, you haven't been, I haven't heard you doing that for a while, so good to get back out there. I think I did hear you yesterday talking about it a little bit, so getting the groundhogs, so there you go. Using air, or using something a little bit more formidable out there? I would imagine that you don't need to use air. I don't know if you use air by choice or by necessity, but you might comment on that when it comes around. And as far as the FDM-150 goes, you know, and I'm going to mention that in the ARPSC group. I'll see if I can copy and paste your ad, because those are popular with them, and there might be some people there that are, and that's a good deal. So hold your horses. Let me post that over in ARPSC and see if that gets any bites. Anthony?
Well, Dakota, if you ever need a second shooter, I'd love to come out and shoot photos of you shooting animals. That'd be pretty fun. So let me know if you're doing it on a weeknight like last night, and I could grab some gear and run out.
Yeah, I'll have to bring you out one time or a couple times this summer. I'm still trying to line up more property. I haven't nailed any down by me. I mean, this is only 20 minutes from my house, so it's not like it's, you know, super far. But when I lived in Armada, man, I bet you I had access to at least 1,000 acres of private property that I just free reign, like go kill everything. And moving here is a different world. Farmers are kind of not the same. But, Sean, I'm using a 17 HMR. I was hesitant on bringing it yesterday because it was 13 to 20 mile an hour gust. My first shot was at 115 yards, but I've shot that gun enough that I can manage. I don't have my FX anymore. I wish I still did, but I just have absolutely no need to have that much money tied up into an air gun, because everywhere I hunt now I can burn powder. Like, even I bought that gun specifically for when I lived in Armada because I lived in the village. And then I ended up modifying the gun to where it had more kinetic energy than a 22, so that it would defeat its purpose in its entirety. Forgot what else. Oh, yeah, and I posted the FTM-150 in an ARPSC group, too. So that's why I was saying I'm surprised that it didn't go, because I priced it to go, and it didn't go. But it's a good radio. I still got the original box. Still got all the accessories and crap for it. It was only in my truck for, I don't know, maybe a year before I took it out, so I appreciate it. And Rick, it is a good time, but I did have to bring a 2, a 4, and a 6-year-old yesterday, so there's that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Faith FTS.
Yeah, the FTS in there, I'll get right to you there. And Dakota, that makes it more interesting there. You get the youngsters hooked, and maybe they won't grow up spending their time drinking and doping and all the other nasty stuff that we try to keep them away from. But FTO, I forgot already. Donald, you're not the only one. I do the same thing. But the breaker, go ahead, and then I think it goes to Donald.
Thank you. This is KF8FGS, David here. Talking about those swaps, the Livonia swap was in February, and it seemed like that's the first one I had gone to. And then they got in on June 21st, down at the Monroe Fairgrounds.
Good morning. Zero,
there's a swap 7:30
hours.
In the morning, 7 to 1:30.
Cloudy.
And then
47 degrees.
Every other weekend, or a second weekend of every month, the GM has a trunk swap at the Packer Proving Grounds on Van Dyke. That's this weekend, and then June 13th, July 11th, August 8th, and September 12th. That's a trunk swap. So there's no manufacturers, no food trucks, you know, bring your own stuff. But You'll meet a lot of local people there. KF8FGS to whoever's next.
Donald, W-A-R-C-Y. Yeah, Dave, thanks for that information as well, these other local shops. I'm glad to know that the Livonia one's in February and the Monroe one is in June. I'll look those dates up for later this year and into next year. Appreciate that information. The Carl, you were just mentioning the bag phone thing. I have an extra XPR. And it's for R2, and I have to ask Wally to see if he can dial it back. But it was going to go into Joe's vehicle, but she's getting flack from the leasing company on her thing. She would mount one in and drill a hole in the roof and so on and so forth. So I'm thinking about considering making that a bag phone. I'll probably want to talk to you later on this summer. I said a bag phone. Oh, my God. Just showed my days of cellular. Holy cow. Anyway, a bag radio to go, bag. Gee whiz, I can't even talk this morning. You know where I'm going with this. So I'm going to probably want to talk to you somewhere down the road if I can get that radio expanded into some 70-centimeter 440 stuff. Sean, over to you. I got to go get some coffee.
I just take the old bag with me and tell me to carry her phone. That's my bag phone. I'm kidding. I keyed. So, okay, yeah, Dakota, I bet you I'm circling back quickly to the air gun. Yeah, I kind of thought it might have been by necessity, not by, you kind of needed to have it out there. I mean, very cool. My son was really into that, and he was really digging what you had there. But, I didn't know you had posted that in the ARPSC, so, that's funny. Nobody's even bid on that, because that's a really good price on a nice radio. And, let's see, you got the update on the swaps. We covered all of them. We didn't cover the trunk swap, that's true. That can be pretty sparse, but it's always a good time. I've always had good luck there at the trunk swap up there in Shelby. So, I think that's one that was mentioned. Oh, what else? Oh, yeah, we were talking about having to take the kids. Yeah, I was just thinking about that, and I read a whole article on it the other day about how, the kids that grew up in the 70s may have been the last kids that, were cut loose, and we had to figure everything out ourselves socially. We had to make our own mistakes and all that stuff. And, nowadays, I wouldn't call it helicopter parenting, but there seems to be this need by parents nowadays to make sure their kid has, a quality planned time every day. And I'm like, why? Why not just let them loose and let them learn to make. And I like the idea of you taking them to something that's not specifically them, because they got to learn how to operate, in that zone, see something an adult's doing and maybe kind of like, try to, maybe one day I'd like to do that or something like that. I like the idea of taking the kids on things that aren't necessarily for them. Of course, it's paying the buck for you, hey, you learn too, I guess. Anyhow, enough thoughts on that. I just was reading a whole article yesterday about how, everything is, probably started since the 80s. It started transitioning to, parents just trying to plan everything out for their kids. I wasn't. My kids were kind of raised kind of similar. They were raised in the 90s, and I did not go out of my way to make sure every moment was a fun-packed and rewarding experience. Sometimes I cut them loose and said, hey, go have fun. Who gets the next hit for me? You think Anthony?
Yep, it is me. Yeah, it is a weird dynamic of trying to parent your kid the way that we were parented and still have boundaries. But I know I try to take my daughter everywhere and do everything that I do. So they do appreciate it, Dakota. It'll take a while before you realize it, but they do appreciate that you take them and do all this stuff.
Hey, DBF. Yeah, Sean, the air gun was a really good time. I had that thing dialed in. The scope max elevation, with the dialing in it, I could have put a better scope on it, but I was able to shoot 130 yards like nothing, like very consistently. I had good dope on it, but it was just, you price them out. You know what they cost. I can get three rifles for what they cost, so I moved it along, and not upset about it. And as far as the kid thing, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say fed to the wolves at 17, but I moved to Maryland at 17 years old to go play lacrosse at a private school and had never been on my own before that. And I just figured it out. I didn't know how to do laundry. I didn't really know how to cook. I didn't know how to do a single thing. I was, you know, 17, dumb. And my mom took good care of me as a kid. I'll never, ever take that away from my parents. But it was like, as soon as I hit the age of adulthood, they're like, all right, good luck, figure it out. And, I mean, it's been the same story ever since. Even today, like, I called them yesterday. I'm like, will you guys come hang out with the kids for a little bit? I got a call to go kill some groundhogs. And they're like, oh, no, we're busy. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So we all loaded up, and they had a great time. The kids, you know, I got 600 miles on my truck, and they're bouncing off the walls in it, so that was fun. But they all unbuckled in their car seats, and they were all sitting in the back seat, and they were helping me spot groundhogs and stuff. I mean, obviously, you got to settle them down every now and again, but I am doing everything in my power to make sure my kids are not going to turn out like the kids today, like these Gen Z idiots, where they're just incompetent, incapable, and entitled. And I'll be damned if my kids want a participation trophy. So I'm doing what I can to let them loose, protect them, parent them, but also you're going to figure it out on your own.
Bravo, Dakota. Bravo. And ain't Cincy.
Yep, that's just so hard. Good to hear that. And I'm glad you're kind of dedicated to it. And Sean, I almost sent you something there yesterday. A lot of these sort of supposedly knowledgeable gun folks are predicting or creating an ammo shortage, and apparently ammo has hit rock bottom, and some of the manufacturers are kind of in trouble. But anyway, there's some deals going on. I saw some decent-looking prices on 300 Blackout on Precision Reloader site. So if you need any kind of ammo, you might want to pick it up before they create the shortage again. I think everybody's starting to, while the prices are low and these people are touting this upcoming shortage, it's going to create one here, a rush to ammo stores pretty soon. But anyway, just heads up, AWOJ and Donald, I think it is.
Let me check out here real quick. I've got to get in the shop, but I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll take any info on that you could send me. I have been kind of lax building the stock back up. I got to jump out. W8FU, Donald.
It's supposed to go David, then me, but I'll take it, and then I'll flip it to David. For me, just to wrap up as well, because I got to get my day started, these AmFest shows and stuff like that, it is something I want to get to, if not this year, next year for sure. Project this year is to get at least my base station antenna up, because the one I have now does not cover what's in my radio, my desktop radio, so I got to do that. As far as firearms, guns, and ammo, I no longer own a firearm because I can't shoot one. My hand is just doesn't have the grip strength. I lost a lot of my grip strength in an injury back in my meat cutting days for Farmer Jacks. First thing that went was my bowling career, and then the second thing, my hand now, as old as it is, just can't. I went to the gun range about 2 years ago and fired off one magazine, and it just hurt, and it hurt for days afterwards. So firearms for me are out, and I don't even follow it as much as I used to. One thing I did notice, to say real quick, gas prices jumped about 20 to 30 cents, and they're hitting about $5 a gallon. We're right up there. We're like between $4.89 $4.99 as of this time. Everybody have a great day. And whoever's on the road, stay safe. And we'll catch up with you later. Dave, FGS, it's over to you, sir. WARCY.
Yeah, as far, this is Dave, FGS. Yeah, I'm going to go to that Monroe swap with a couple guys. We'll see what that's about. As far as raising children, you just got to do your best. Dakota, you're to be applauded. I came up in the 60s, and, you know, we had our guns in our cars at school. You know, we'd go hunt before school, we'd go hunt after school, and they still had the firearms from the shooting team. And so that was kind of strange, and that was in Utica. So, it's different times, and I think this helicopter parenting is people wanting their child to be better than the next and giving them a false sense of what the world is all about. And as far as firearms, I'm going to be parting with a few to support this new hobby. KF8 FGS. I think it goes over to either Rick or Dakota.
Hey, I'm going to jump in, guys, the KE8RUA. I'm going to check out here, and David, when you're selling those firearms, make sure you reach out to me and Dakota. We're always in the market. So, again, everybody have a good morning. This is KE8RUH. I'll catch up with everybody soon. I think it's Dakota, then Rick. We'll catch up with you guys soon.
And I believe that is the correct rotation. I hear stories about my dad was born in 65, model 63. And I hear stories about that too, where they used to have their shotguns in their trucks, they'd go hunt the corn after school, and like, what the hell happened to this world? Well, we can't do that anymore because everyone's got a mental illness and wants to shoot a school up. It's ridiculous. Now it's the opposite. I got to carry a gun to make sure that doesn't happen. But I've done it a couple times, and I'll tell you this. I've sold guns to buy radios, and I regretted it. So take that with whatever it's worth. The only one I didn't, that air rifle we were talking about, I sold that to a buddy and bought my 705 kit. So that truly made me fall in love with POTA, portable radio, and all that. So that was worth it. But I've gotten rid of some other ones to buy some HTs and stuff, and it wasn't worth it. So there's my 2 cents. And what the hell else was I going to say? Forgot. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. Selling rifles is a definite no-no there. I learned the hard way. I sold some that were I was thoroughly in love with to pay medical bills there. Now I'd almost trade a foot or a knee for those rifles back. Just don't do it unless you absolutely have to. For anybody else, I'm getting ready to send this over to Sean there. There is an app for your phone and a site, although I haven't been to the site in a while, called Ammo Seek. They run you just type in there what you're looking for, and they check all the suppliers, just tons and tons and tons of suppliers for. And you can find the best pricing on the Internet without spending days looking through the Internet to see what everybody's charging. It's definitely a worthwhile app. EWJ, I'm not sure now if that's supposed to go to David or Donald. I apologize. Sometimes I have a momentary lapse of reason.
I think it's just us three now, so David. All right, yeah, I've never sold a gun. I traded one time and was immediately sorry. But I've got some collectible stuff, curio and relic type things, and that have quite a bit of value. And I got a
I got to find a way to pay for this. I bought the 7300 Mark II, so I got to somehow replenish the hobby fund to cover that. So, I got a couple. I don't really like to talk about it on the radio, but we'll send it over to I think it's Donald. I think.
I think he checked out as well, but I agree. I don't like disclosing a whole lot of what I got. I mean, I think most people have a good idea. Well, maybe not. I don't know. 17HMR is what I talk about on the air the most because that's my pride and joy. But, if they're not things that actually go boom or you don't want them to go boom, then that's different. I'm talking about stuff that you can use. But if it's a collector piece, then I get that. So there's that. And I know I do the same thing. I got to get rid of – that's what I was talking to Sean about. I have at least – 3 radios that I want to get rid of. And if I got rid of those, I'd feel less guilty about the 3 Motorolas I just bought.
Yeah. that's pretty good. I just want to say that, you got to be careful if you're buying a used gun from somebody kind of thing. You got to be careful because make sure you check it over real well. A guy showed up at the Lapeer Sportsman's Club one time, big day. And he had a 7 mag bolt action that he got from a coworker kind of thing. And he sat down to try it out kind of thing and couldn't chamber around. Checking it out, finding out what's going on. There was a an empty case with the head torn off, stuck in the chamber. And he was going to need either a new barrel or a pretty good gunsmith to get that thing out of there. So I kind of wish I would have been at that guy's place of employment on Monday morning to see what happened. David, I think, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember the surplus AK variants and SKS variants, the Chinese and different ones. They all came with a broken shell extractor tool. So that was pretty common with the steel cased ammo. But yeah, that's from reloaders not watching the thickness of the metal and reusing over and over and over and to the point where, I mean, if you got to trim it every time, you know the thing's getting thinner and thinner. And then they try to do some high power and, with their own homebrew powders and what have you, and with the hand loads. Yeah, I've heard of that. That's unfortunate, but it can be fixed. They can be had. But at any rate, as far as the collector stuff that I have, it's CNR type stuff. Mausers and things of that nature. But, that's always a lot of fun. But I got to sell at least one to pay for this the 7300. Or maybe I have to sell 3. I don't know. Whatever it takes. So you got to keep Mama happy.
Yeah, I don't. I do my absolute best to not disclose how much my radios cost to my wife. As far as she knows, well, there's actually a lot of truth to it. I was like, the Motorolas, I'm like, I got a good deal on every single one of them. Like, so there's that. You always get my money back out of them, but my plan of, I got to sell this radio to buy this radio, that didn't go so well. So I got to do the same thing. And honestly, if I did get rid of those 3 radios, I'd probably do what you just did, is buy a 7300 Mark II. I don't really need it, but it's such a sick radio. I would love to get one. So there's that. I've got a 705 sitting on my desk right now, which I absolutely adore, but it's only 10 watts on power, so that 7300 Mark II would be a nice complement to it.
Well, you guys make me think about all the things I want. I think I could be a millionaire, and there still wouldn't be enough money. I seems like I want everything. David, go ahead. EAWOJ.
Yeah, well, with this 7300 Mark II, I heard a lot of people talk about it on the radio and whatnot, and talking about this kind of radio and the 91s and, you know, difference, you know, between the J2 and the ICOMs and the Kenwoods and all that. And I just figured, well, there's a lot of money, but I heard somebody say, well, you know, buy once, cry once. So that's kind of where I'm at. I figured it's my first HF rig. So I'll just go ahead and get it and enjoy it for a long time. I mean, at my age, I don't have time to start small, work up, if you know what I mean. So I've got some antenna work I'm going to do. The guy gave me a 10 to 40 dipole. I've never seen one quite like this. It's like four separate antennas in one in a dipole configuration. So I'm going to get that put up and see what we do. I've been using one of those Comet toy box antennas, and it's okay, but, you know, it's not for a base station at all, and it'd take too much fiddling around with it, you know, to tune it in to different frequencies. But I put it up, and I've been listening. I'm getting ready to take the general, so I figured I'd get ready, you know, now, so that, you know, when I do get that license, I can hit the ground running. KF8 FGS, back to Dakota.
I think that's the best mentality to have in radio, or else you spend way more money in the long run anyway. I started with a 7300, talking about regret selling stuff. I should have never sold that radio. I bought a brand new, absolutely loved it, worked great, did tons of FT8, worked almost all 50 with it. I think I wrapped up a couple with an 891, but I had that in an NFET and I absolutely loved it. Good radios, and fits the bill for pretty much anything you want to do. And that 7300 Mark II is, I'm sure, no exception and probably much, much better. But I'm going to clear out here. I just backed into my parking spot. I'm going to get inside, get the day started. So maybe I will catch a gentleman this afternoon. If not, maybe tomorrow morning. I'm going to have a good day. N8DBF.
73.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Have a good one, Dakota. Always good talking with you. Take it easy and be safe. KDNWOJ, David, go ahead.
Yeah, there's, well, like any hobby, you know, when you first get into it, there's an investment in the hobby, if it's boats or motorcycles or firearms or radio. You know, there's always an initial investment, and so I figured, well, I got these rifles sitting in the safe, and some of them I hadn't had them out in several years, and I got them out the other day. I was looking at them, made some pictures, sent them to a guy that buys collections. He doesn't buy. I don't have a gun collection. I have a collection of guns. So, and they're all unique in their own way. You know, some military stuff mostly. That haven't been sporterized or anything like that. But at any rate, I'm excited about getting up this dipole antenna. It was gifted to me, and it's already measured out and what have you. I ordered some roof mount equipment, and got my garage is a ways away from the house, so from the gable end of my house to the garage, to the far side of my garage is darn near 100 feet, so I can put up on anything up to, you know, 40 meters in that easily. So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm excited about it. I just wish the weather would hurry up, make up its mind to stay one way, either stay raining or...
either stay raining or stay nice. I believe it should rain every day, but only between 1 and 3 in the morning. Back to you.
Yeah. When I was living out in Montana there, it seemed to rain every day for about 10 minutes. You know, there'd be sunny blue skies, just a gorgeous day. One dark cloud would come wandering in every day around the same time in the afternoon. Drop a little bit of rain and for about 10 minutes and then disappear and back to a nice day. It was pretty nice. And yeah, originally, you know, buying originally equipment there, I got it. You got a lot of guns, so I don't know if you hand load or buy ammo, but I got into hand loading a long time ago. And the initial outlay for, you know, presses and dies and trimmers and, you know, all the goodies kind of thing, it kind of sucked, but it is definitely worthwhile in the long run. And people always ask me, is it really cheaper to hand load than buying ammo? It's not really. I mean, you spend about the same money, but I do a whole lot more shooting for the same amount of money. So it's not too bad. And then mostly it's I can tune the loads to the barrels. So I, you know, tune the ammo to a particular rifle kind of thing. So they shoot itty bitty little groups. But I noticed over the decades there, everybody was into accuracy. So the OEMs started cleaning up their production lines and making tighter tolerances a little bit tighter. And the factory ammo's gotten a whole lot better than it used to be. KEAWOJ, back to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The initial investment is huge. And when I first got into that hobby, I did the math, and I figured I'd have to shoot probably 500 rounds a week consistently to really save any money, you know, on the equipment. So I opted not to reload, and I'm not sorry I didn't, you know. You guys used to tease me a little bit because, you know, I'd buy, you know, case quantities, and I always got fairly good deals, but it didn't get it down to the, you know, 20 cents a round for, this was, see, it was about 15 cents a round for 45 ACP back when I get one for hand load. And I didn't get it down quite that low, but I was able to, I was happy. So I never really got into that. And I love the science aspect of that, you know, with the, and keeping track and the records. And of course then you gotta have something to measure velocity besides accuracy. You gotta have something to measure velocity. And so yeah, it's you know, you're looking at the time it would have been about $4,000 worth of stuff, and I figured, well, I can buy a lot of ammo for $4,000. And I figured how long it would take to even break even. And so I just stayed with the shooting aspect of it. I had a lot of fun over time, you know, hunting with my brothers and have a daughter that shoots. And she's, in fact, she's right-handed but left-eye dominant. And just at the indoor ranges, see all these range commandos making comments like, hey, look at the left-handed chick, because she's, you know, her scores are pretty high. So. Yeah, I'd make the comment, oh, you know, that's my daughter. So, and they would, it was kind of funny. Now back over to you.
Yeah, I've shot with a lot of fellas that were, you know, just the same. It's, they were kind of time constrained. Didn't have a whole lot of time for hand loading and all that. So they just bought whatever they needed. And, it's, you know, it's just, if you find a good lot, that's you're happy with the groups or whatever, the accuracy of it kind of thing. And then you buy a big pile of it, you know, all the same lot number. Well, you know, then you're fine. But, you know, we have the same thing in hand load, the lots of powder. you might work your tail off to get something that shoots easy to be the little groups. And then once you run out of the powder, you get the same powder from the same company. But it's makes slightly different. It might be 10% different one way or another kind of thing. It might have, but for me, the load testing, putting them together and testing the loads is just top notch. It's something I can do all year long instead of waiting 50 weeks to go 2 weeks deer hunting, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, you're right, Cinda. The science going through a minimum to maximum loads at, you know, 5 or 10 loads of each 2/10 of a grain kind of thing until you find out what you're looking for. And then getting to test them out at the range. Anything that keeps me on the range is I'm pretty happy with. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And I had a time when my career took a turn, and even though I was in the same industry, I ended up in management, and all of a sudden, you know, I was working, instead of working 40 hours, I was working 60 hours, and the time constraint was the big deal. And the equipment that I looked at was progressive stuff, and so that, you know, you could churn out, you know, 100 rounds an hour once you got it set. But, like I say, I ran the numbers and I opted against it. And I still like keeping track and going out and what have you. It's just been a while since I did that. Like I say, hobbies change.
Yep, absolutely. And I used to have a progressive. I bought a Dillon XL650. What an awesome. And yeah, you can get some money of that thing too for all the setups, for all the calibers kind of thing. And I loved it, but I ended up selling it all to pay more medical bills again. So I'm back to single loading, you know, regular presses kind of thing. But I'm in no hurry. I got nothing but time, so I don't mind just sitting there cranking them out. 88WOJ.
Yeah, well, then again, that's why I figured with the radio, I forget who I was talking to, and he's the one that, there's a guy who lives over in Six Mile and Gratiot area. I forget his name. I only had one CUSA with him, but we talked for quite a while, and he's been in the radio for a long time, and he's a couple years older than me, and he's the one that said, that, look, you're too old to start small. You know, you don't need to start with a kit. You know, because we used to, you know, years ago, back in the late 60s, we put together kits. And, but then, you know, I dropped away from radio. And, you know, with life and kids, and you know, first it was sports and high school and girls and college and career and then kids and what have you. So I always did hobbies that, you know, like boating and things like that were, you know, family affairs. So anyway, so now here we are in the twilight years to get back into radio. So I see you're running on the I'm looking at the UHF hub for the CMN repeater. I see you're on the 442-1750. Whereabouts are you roughly?
Boy, this thing's got a long tail. I'm over by West Bluefield, kind of just a little south and a little bit west of Pontiac. And I'm running through the KC8 LCS repeater down in Detroit.
Yeah, roger that. Hey, good clear signal. No problem there. Good clear signal, full quieting, what have you. So... and I'm just running, I got an Anytone 578 tri-bander, and I took my shovel handle J-pole and put it up higher in the air. It's up about 20 feet now, and right now looks like I'm pushing about 35 watts right now, so, once I get this dipole put up, then my next one would be UHF, VHF antenna up on the roof, and so we'll see if we can I settled on the Comet CX333 antenna, so we'll see what we can do with that one. DF8FGS, WOJ.
Well, I'll be darned, I am running the same video. And I am also putting out 35 and a half watts. And I'm kind of running a GP3, Comet GP3, but it's only 10 feet in the air out in the backyard there. I've got it buried in plastic ivy to hide the mast, and you can't really, and the antenna actually is all crawling full of plastic ivy with no metal in it, and it seems to do a good job. Nobody knows it's there. But you're sounding good, too. I was tickled when you said you had the 578. I really love this thing. I haven't had it that awful long.
Yeah, well, this one actually was a gift from my wife. She, you might have heard my story, but she heard me talking to an uncle down in South Carolina who's a longtime ham. And she heard me talking, and she saw this radio on Facebook or something. And she overheard the conversation, or at least my side of the conversation I had with him. You know, I was telling him about I wanted to get back into radio. And so that was coming up on a year ago in June. And, after that conversation with my uncle, like 3 days later, this thing showed up on my porch. So I didn't have my license yet, so it was quite an incentive to hurry up and get the license, so I did. But yeah, I enjoy the radio, and I don't run it on full power. It'll do about 55 watts on that turbo power. I'm just running it at high power right now. But yeah, it took me a while to figure it out, and the programming and whatnot. Actually, I bought a pair of Baofeng UV5RF radios and learned how to program those. And then I found a code plug and downloaded the program from Anytone. And, I really like the radio. I enjoy it. It's, I'm using it for my base. I think it's too expensive to put in a truck. KF8FTS, back to you.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm leery about putting, I usually take an HT in the car with me. Just don't like sitting. It doesn't go in the garage. You know, it's sitting outside. So it seems like in this area, anyway, right around the holidays, Thanksgiving, some people are getting their Christmas gifts for others by breaking into cars and stuff. So I don't put one in there either. But I lost my little train of thought here on the radio. Oh, well, maybe it'll come back around.
Yeah, question on your experience with the 578. Do you have the band program to come on when you with the PPT and temperature, or just temperature?
I think if I remember right, I set it for both. And I do remember what I was wondering about. Since these radios can do 220, have you done any 220 on it? I got in there and kind of scanned around kind of thing. I couldn't find anything going on or pretty much. And it only puts out, I think it's 5 or 6 watts on 220, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I forget what the output is on 220. I've listened, and I know there's a lot of repeaters, 220 repeaters, and I've talked to a couple guys that get out there, 88FK, he gets on 220 now and again, but I don't have any proper antenna. My J-pole is this dual band the one I built, and so that's why I'm going to get that Comet 333 tri-bander. Besides, it gets quite a bit of gain. So then I thought, might as well get on that 220 band, see what, and when I get on there and listen, I want to be able to talk too, so, and I'm not going to key up on this on this gate pole antenna.
Yeah, I've kind of always wanted to put together a copper tube gate pole kind of thing. Maybe I'll fool around with that. It's not very expensive. Seems like it'd be fun to do, cutting pieces and solder them. I just don't know where I'd stick it up at, nor do I want to run another line through the basement wall there kind of thing out into the backyard. excuse me. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, as far as the cost of it, I happen to have enough copper pipe and fittings in the barn, and I was a plumber by trade. So, and I like building my own stuff. So that it was a way to get on the air pretty quick with a fairly decent. I mean, I've talked Simplex down to Belle Isle from Utica, so I got no problem with that. The antenna does okay. A lot of people, you know, they kind of laughed, oh, you got to get this, you got to get that. Well, for right now, this was doing me just fine.
Yeah, you sound great, dude. Not a thing wrong with anything you're doing, this kind of thing. And a plumber, I used to be a pipe fitter, a machine tool pipe fitter, bending steel tubes and, you know, cutting and putting up solder, water stuff, coolant and different kinds of things. It was kind of a fun trade. I I don't know about fun, but it was a decent trade.
Oh, roger that. Well, I've done every aspect of piping from, putting in big boilers and chillers, and I've run 8-inch lube lines. I've run 8-inch coolant lines, from chillers back to buildings, and cooling towers, as well as plumbing in people's homes. That's how I started, was as a house plumber, and I got into commercial work, and I've worked in all the auto plants and whatnot. And it seemed wherever I worked, I ended up in the office. So I learned the estimating skills and project management and stuff. So that's what I did the last 10 years. In fact, it was back in 2001, I was pulled into the office. In 2000, I was pulled into the office of the company I was at. And I held that position for 10 years until all the work went away when they had the housing bubble pop. And then I did lots of different things. I learned HVAC along the way. So if I was to do a side job, it would be it's heating and cooling right now. Plumbing is, except for, changing the water here, that gets to be a young man's job.
Yes, sir. It seems like at 72 and all broken down body kind of thing, it's all young man's work now. I would like to have something going on the side, but there ain't a whole lot I could do anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not going to be swinging a pick, that's for sure. But, doing the air conditioning repairs and whatnot, it's just, throw a meter on it, put the gauge on and see what the person needs. And I don't do a whole lot of that, just occasionally. And it does kind of, I've always used that to support whatever my hobbies were. But now, there's jobs are few and far between just because I turn them down. You turn down a few, people stop calling, and they stop giving out your number and things like that.
So I take it from earlier you said you got from Utica to, I forgot where it was with the people, but if you're in Utica, I'm curious if Irma's Frozen Custard is open yet.
Yes, it is. I go by there at least once a week. Yep, it's open. And they've got they've done some enhancements over there with their little, they got this area that the patio area that they put up, and as long as the big trucks don't come blowing by and kicking up dust, it's it's pretty nice. It's good to see them back. And I'm just looking at the specs here. And the 220 band is 5 watts on middle power. It doesn't show it on high power. It's only middle and low power, and it's 1 watt or 5 watts on the 220 band.
Yeah, the first mobile I got to use as a base was a Wosheng or Watson or whatever, how you pronounce that, but it was a quad band, and I put out 50 watts on a UHF and VHF, but then you got the 6-meter and 10-meter, and they only put out 5 watts. And why in the world do they do that, because I wasn't at the time when I bought it. I don't remember if they mentioned the power rating on 6 and 10 kind of thing, but I was kind of disappointed. I know a lot of HF guys get all over the world on just a few watts kind of thing, but I found I don't have a yard full of antennas, so I like power.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I know a few guys around their house, it looks like cobwebs. You know, they got long wires, and they got end feds and dipoles and loops of wire, and then plus their commercial antennas, and with ground planes and whatnot. But you know what? If you're not looking for it, you don't find them. I'm going to have to, you go ahead. I got to take a standby here to get an answer to the phone.
RCY-WDD.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Rain. 47 degrees.
KF8 FGS, we're back. K8WOJ, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
That was my better half on the phone. I always answer that call. Sometimes I'll look at the number, and I'll call them back, but and I always answer her calls for sure. She's the only one to keep me straight, and she's still working, so I got to keep her happy.
Yes, sir, sounds like you got a good one, and you did definitely do want to keep her. What's that old saying? How did that go? When mama's happy, everybody's happy. When papa's unhappy, nobody cares.
I hadn't heard that second half of that. I remember, I'll work on that. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if papa's not happy, ain't nobody cares. How about that?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. I was just checking out Ammo's Heat here to see if they were still around. I texted Sean to check it out for some ammo, and I thought, I haven't been there in a while. I better check to make sure they're still going. So I'm just looking at some pricing on there. It's kind of nice. It's a search function for ammo or, whatever it is you're looking for in the sport kind of thing. And it compares, it goes out and finds all the prices, so you don't have to spend all your time going from site to site to site checking, prices for stuff or availability.
Is that the Ammo Seek?
Yep, Ammo Seek, S-E-E-K, all one word, .com. They also have an app, but I just fired up the app, and it's kind of an older one. It warned me it's made for an older version of Android kind of thing. And it's just showing one at a time kind of thing where if you go on the website, you get a a long, big, long list of who's putting out what and what kind of prices and all that kind of stuff. You know, whether it's 20, 50, 200, 250, 500, or 1,000 kind of thing, it's kind of cool. I forgot about it. Since I make my own, I kind of forgotten about it for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. I typed in ammo, and it came up in the, it must be a popular search, because it came up right away. Oh, yeah, choose by caliber. Oh, that's pretty cool. And, yeah, I don't have anything in 10mm or 300 blackout, but, or 6.5. I got all the rest of them, though.
Oh, well, you might be able to make use of that and find the best prices pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make an account here. I had been buying on, you know, Cheaper Than Dirt and a couple other those type of sites, but they're not so cheap anymore. You know, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, when they were selling a lot of, there's still a lot of surplus, military surplus stuff out there. And they had really good prices on everything, but now they don't have any of that surplus equipment and gear and, you know, knapsacks and things like that, and or holsters, or, you know, they used to have all kinds of stuff. But nowadays, all they got is ammo, and it's not cheap.
Yeah, now that you know that you mentioned it, I remember that site. Seemed like I bought something off of there too. I can't remember what. This getting old just ain't for the meat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. But that's another thing about the radio hobby. It's an intellectual hobby, so you keep your mind going when maybe the body's not cooperating. Keeps the mind going. My partner at the office, we both retired at the same time, you know, at the same day. And so he does a lot of, and we're the same age. Well, rather than, he does a lot of, I call it testosterone sports. You know, he was still playing senior hockey, you know, at age of 68. And that's not me. So, this is a little more intellectual hobby, and but he's, you know, he bowls and he golfs and he plays pickleball and, you know, he runs the neighborhood and all of that. But I go to the gym just to stay limber. But I like this hobby. You know, there's so many different. Like I say, it's an intellectual hobby.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it also. I kind of really like the hearing these sets, the simulated emergency tests and all the guys planning for the tests and all this other kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. And then once, you know, we get civil defense whistles or sirens go off kind of thing and there's actually something going on, you can hop on the radio and find out ahead of time, you know, what's going on where. It's very interesting.
Yeah, roger that. I joined the Macomb Amateur Radio Public Service Corps, the ARPSC, and I'm going to participate in the set this weekend. It's Saturday, like May 12 or something like that. So we'll see what happens with that. And it's a lot of, you know, that kind of, you get the camaraderie, you know, the different guys and there's a lot, some of them have been involved in radio for years, and so that's the kind of guys I want to get with. Because like I say, I was involved in radio years ago. We used to build the kits and whatnot, and I truly, and this is going to sound naive, but I truly thought I would be warming my hands over the tubes when I got back in, only to find out it's all software-defined.
Yeah. No tubes anymore. I remember my dad, with the television and stuff, my dad dragging me along to the, it seemed like the drugstores even had tube testers, you know, to test out tubes. But Yeah, I like the, I was listening last year to the McComb group on DMR getting all set up for the SCT, and I participated in one, I think last fall. It's kind of a hoot. I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is KF8FGS. You could call every now and then, I suppose. And you don't have to go be in the field to participate in the set. You can do it from your base because they always need somebody on a base to handle traffic and what have you. So we'll see what happens. You talked about DMR. I did pick up the DM32 from Baofeng, and I got to say those radios have gotten a lot better. The quality really went up. But just to get involved with DMR a little bit. So I get the program with a bunch of stuff, but I've never broadcasted even keyed up on DMR. So I don't know what it's all about. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to Saturday to the set. We'll see what that's all about. It'll be the first time I've been to one. Back to you, KE8 and WOJ.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you telling me when it is because I was beginning to wonder. I thought usually I kind of hear it's sometime in the spring kind of thing. I didn't know it was this Saturday. I'll have to tune in. And I've got the 578, the Anycom 578, right? So you should have DMR on that also.
Oh, yep. It's DMR as well. But like I say, I don't know anything about it. So, and I'm happy. My learning curve is pretty steep, so I'm glad I was able to figure out how to program this radio with the VHF and UHF and finding all the repeaters and what have you. I got my license in December. I had planned to take it in September, and then the government shut, and it was December before I could take it. And in fact, I took the first test offered after the government went back and, after that FCC went back in business there back in December with the Hazel Park Club. So, I'm studying for my general now. I got to knuckle down and get real serious about that so I can take that test pretty quick here. But, yeah, these in this 578, I mean, 4,000 channels and half a million contacts you can put in the thing. I mean, it's off the chart, the amount of capacity this radio has. And if I use a tenth of it, I'd probably be surprised.
Yeah, I bought the 878 handheld to get started there, and I bought it in January of last year. And I was pulling my, the same thing with the learning curve, I was pulling my hair out from January to June, I think, before I got it running. I'd fight with it, programming that kind of thing, and then I couldn't get it to work and give up on it for a few days or so, and then it'd be not nagging at me kind of thing. Well, you can't just give up on it kind of thing. I get it, I go again. Anyway, it took a while, but then now it's a piece of cake. It's kind of easy, and I started studying for the general, and I got about halfway through it, and I go, what am I doing? You know, I got digital. I could talk all over the world now, crystal clear, with my tech license. So I just studying EAWOJ.
It's not quite the same on DMR and hotspots. HF can be a lot of fun. That's my 2 cents. N8ZC.
You're connected.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. What's the call?
N8ZC, ZC, November 8, Zulu Charlie. Name is Kerry. And I've been sitting here listening to you guys for quite a while. Figured, well, I'm on another cup of coffee. It's probably time to quit sandbagging and actually say hi. I've been quiet on the radio for a couple days now, so. But yeah, I'm listening to you from the Durand machine. I'm over here by Bancroft. I'm not sure which one gets it next, but I'll just throw it up. It ain't Betsy.
Thanks for speaking up, for sure, Gary. WOG, go ahead.
Yeah, welcome, Gary, and, you owe us a coffee now for sandbagging for so long. I'm just kidding. Okay, WOG, go ahead.
You must have meant for me. Sorry. Oh, I was writing down calls, so get used to everybody's calls and names and whatnot, because, well, here in Shiawassee County, it's, I'll just leave it at that. Not much going on, but the Durand machines here are pretty good, and then I'm not, maybe at most 3 miles from the Bancroft link for MI-5, and then for MI-1 and 2 here, I don't know, it might be about 8 miles, so mount timer, geez, go figure. Hey, let's see.
Now, this is quite a network. I was introduced to this network, a few months ago, and through the guys over at the Macomb ARPSC, and I was just looking up the Oakland County ARPSC, and they have quite a group. I've listened in on their net a couple times, and I never logged into it, but if you want to get involved in public service and in the set and things, now would be the time. If you want to, you're talking about listening to the sets and what have you, and now would be the time. And Terry, you definitely sounding good from wherever you're at there. I got the MI-1 pulled up on the my monitor, and there's been several guys kick in here from different parts of Michigan. It's quite a good network. And we'll send it back to WOJ.
Well, fellas, I am going to get on out of here. I've tied up this system for long enough there, and I got to get some breakfast. My stomach is starting to chew in my backbone. So enjoy talking with you fellas. You guys have a good one, and be careful out there. KEAWOJ.
Well, Rick, good to talk to you, and you sent me those spreadsheets the other day, and looking through it, it was pretty interesting. So it went in the folder here on the computer to pay attention to. Oh, and I had to remind myself here, I reset my timeout timer. For some reason, these Baofeng DM32s, the DMR one here, I forget all what the acronym is, but it will not hold the timeout timer. I don't get it. But it'll remind me, and I'll just have to go reset it, and I'll be fine for a while, and then all of a sudden it's back to 60 seconds. anyway. Yeah, I wished Shiawassee County was a little bit more proactive before I landed here in Shiawassee County back late 90s, early 2000s, I was second in command for Ingham County and Lansing and really enjoyed it back then. But so I kind of pay attention to it and whatnot. But Shiawassee County has always been known as a black hole. So what do you do? Anyways, back over to the other gentleman there. I didn't quite catch your call sign or your name there, but nonetheless, back to you, Lenny. Is that C?
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, this is David, and it's KF8FGS, and they tell me that's finding good signals. So I've been having some fun with that. I was looking, I'm sitting here in front of the computer, and, Rick was talking about the listening to the guys on the set, and they got a lot of, Oakland County has the Public Service Corps has a lot going on. They're a pretty busy group. I'm in the Macomb, and they've rebuilt it from like four people a couple years ago. It's up about 40 people now, and they got a lot of good stuff going on there too. So, and like you were talking, I got the DM32 Baofeng radio, and I like it. It's I wish the screen was a little bigger. It's hard to use as a mobile, but because I can't see the screen without picking the radio up and holding it up to my nose. But yeah, it's a good radio. I just need to learn about the DMR, you know, and the talk groups and all of this. Back to you, Terry.
Yeah, I've been messing around with DMR since, I don't know, about COVID summertime, I think, is when I really started paying attention to it. Something to do, seeing how we couldn't do anything. I'll leave it at that. I won't get on my political soapbox. I had to put an elevator in on mine. Oh, anyway. But, yeah, I've been at it for a while. There is a learning curve to it, but once you understand a couple of key things, I guess, everything kind of falls into place. You know, all DMR repeaters have a DMR ID, you know, associated to the repeater or users or hotspots, of course. And big thing is to get your talk groups into your your software first, and then, you know, as you start either programming via the software or do it like I do it. I've been programming radios with spreadsheets, you know, build everything in a spreadsheet, export it as a CVS file, and then bring it into the software. It just seems for me, it's easier for me anyway. I've been doing that way for as long as I can remember. But, yeah, there's just a couple of key things, you know, to get used to, and, you know, starting off with a repeater kind of helps you out there and whatnot. But, so I won't say I'm an old hat at it, because I still have to think about things. my next project will be, I keep thinking I'd like to play around with All-Star, but being retired myself and I got to squeeze my pennies every month, so you know how that goes. Back to you, David. NAZC.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock here, and I've been on for about an hour and a half, or almost 2 hours. I was listening to the guys on, I call it the morning drive crew. They talk on those FBI repeaters, and in fact, that's what I'm on right now. This is the Flying Beers Hub about it from Detroit. It's actually, I think, Warren in Michigan. I hope we're not tying up. You know, I suppose if somebody wanted to use a repeater, they'd pipe up. And I've talked to a number of guys out there. There's one guy named Don out in DeWitt, WB8PPV. It's Whiskey Bravo 8, Papa Papa Bravo. And I happened to be up about 3 in the morning one day, and he hadn't gone to bed yet, and we talked about an hour, and I haven't been able to contact him since. I try periodically. I don't know if you've heard him out there, WBHPPB. He was going in for some big surgery. I just hope the guy's okay.
Well, kind of why I give a long pause before I key out, just in case somebody needs the repeater or wants to join in, of course, by all means. But, yeah, I've been paying attention to you guys, if you will, down there in that part of the state and whatnot, and it's a good bunch of guys, and this morning I've been sitting here since cup number one. I actually slept in. I couldn't believe I did, so I think I turned the radios on about 6:30 and listening to firearms, air guns, and whatnot, and all things that are, I'll say passionate about, hobbies. So, and PVB, I think that's what you said. That call is very familiar, but I, off the top of my head, can't say how or why, but I used to be listening to the Lansing repeaters for a long time and whatnot, but I kind of took a little hiatus and just been paying attention to DMR and whatnot this winter anyway, and once I realized the Duran machines were linked to FBI, I figured, you know, I must use this Baofeng on the outside antenna, and that way I can get into it cleanly, and as I can see here at my desk on the main floor of the house with my 878 that I bought this winter, and hit that no problem with full power and a rubber duck, so that's what I do with that one. Oh, let's see, other than that, yeah, I don't know, I'll keep an eye out, because I got a good friend here in the Owosso area that would probably know him, because he's more active with the quote-unquote club here and whatnot, and he's been a ham for a lot longer than I've been, and knows a lot of the hams in the area, so he might know who that guy is, so I'll have to ask him next time I talk to him. Usually end up talking to him on the phone every other day or so, but anywho, back to you, David. Hey, let's see yet again.
I did hear another call at whatever station was calling. Go ahead. I thought I heard somebody. I thought it was KF8 GBA. That's who I thought I heard out there.
Well, I didn't hear nothing. I was too busy yakking. Oh, anyway. Yeah, somebody wants to join in, by all means. Like I said, I'm just sitting here drinking this cup of coffee and trying to decide what I'm going to do next today. I do a little refinishing work and stuff on firearms and black powder, air rifles, whatever somebody wants done, I do on the side, and I got a project upstairs that I'm waiting on some parts to show up, and got the barrel re-blued, and now I got to do a little fitting on the brand new Boyd stock the guy bought. And so I think that'll be on the agenda today, because it's another one of those gloomy Michigan mornings, so it looks like it finally quit raining. It was raining lightly, so looks like it finally moved out, and who knows, maybe we'll see the sun by the end of the day again like we did yesterday, but time will tell. And back to you, David, and 8ZC.
All right, Gary, you know what? I'm on this Anyphone 578-8, and it monitors. So it could have been another repeater that kicked in. It almost was like a double with you, but I think that's probably what it was. I monitor a repeater out of Detroit to WHCMC. It's 443.725, and I monitor that one as well. But here, I've been yakking for so long. Yeah, refinishing fire, I've done a little bit of that. I've never re-blued anything, but I've got, as I was talking to the other guys, I bought the ICOM 7300 Mark II, and I need to replenish the hobby fund, so I think I'm going to part with a couple of firearms. I've got a Mauser, 1944 Mauser, Yugoslav. It's been unissued. The thing doesn't have a ding on it, and it's got some value. And I've got an 03 Springfield A3. It's a real good shooter, and not used very much. And a couple others that I'd like to part with, or I'm willing to part with, I should say. KF8 FGS.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that, as a matter of fact, I don't know now. It's probably been 6 weeks ago. I took a trip down to Williams, and I had an old Mauser and traded that. And what else did I trade? I traded something else. I forget now what it was. Anyway, because it was just in a bag and, you know, kind of put away and wasn't shooting it, didn't have any intentions on reloading for it, because when I got a hold of it, I got a hold of it on a steel, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go see what they give me for it, and I'm like, really? They're pretty fair down there with their trade-ins and their buying, if you will. So if you can't find somebody to buy it from you, that's consideration. I don't know how close you'd be to Williams, but it's still like a 40-minute drive for me here. But I like going down there. And anyways, oh, let's see. There's something else I was going to comment on. Not sure that was. You guys were talking about reloading. You know, I do all my own reloading too, and completely agree that you really don't save any money when you factor in the reloading equipment and all that good stuff, but you get to tailor your ammo to the rifle or your handgun. And so at the moment, I reload for three of my main firearms and had the ability for a couple others, but I don't have rifles for them anymore. But hang on to it nonetheless, because now there's going to be another project in the works. I haven't made up my mind, but that occupies my brain in the winter time to keep from freezing up in the cold temperatures. Oh. And that could have been real easy to do this last winter. Holy cow. But anyway. But I think I'm going to jump out of here and think about some breakfast. The dog's coaxing me for his. And so I should probably go feed Higgins and I guess find something else for myself. So, but it was good to meet you. And I listen to the MI1 and 2, you know, with this radio, because it's a good bunch of guys and a great network, so I appreciate the work these guys put into it and all that fun stuff, and putting up with my yammering when I do jump in and say hi. But I'll listen out and give it back to you, and maybe we'll catch you guys later. We'll see, KF8 FGS. This is
N8ZC. Well, your audio dropped out.
you were about to say why you were listening to MI1 on that particular radio, and you dropped out. It was holding the repeater, but the audio went away, and your battery's low. Back to you, NAZC.
Well, doggone it. You know, I've had that told to me before, not too long ago, so, well, maybe I should just talk on the 878 and call it a day. That or hook up the other HT, but that one's really cheap. No, I was just saying I was going to let you go so I could, the dog's coaxing me for breakfast, and I'm getting hungry, so I think we'll go get on with it for the day and catch everybody later on. So I was just wishing you a good day and kind of going from there. Back to you, David, NAZC.
Thanks for the cue, so we appreciate you piping up. And I've met a lot of good people on this repeater network and what have you. And I love Dog's name for firearms. I'm figuring that Higgins is a firearm. And I've got a schnauzer named Benelli. So we'll carry on from there. Have a K73, KF8, FTS. We'll be clear and doing the same thing. Dogs are bugging me, and I'm hungry myself. Have a good day.
I never thought about Higgins as the firearms related. Huh. There's a story by how he got that name, but oh well. Catch it. We'll do it again some other time. You have a good day, and pet the doggies for me, and Higgins is sitting here looking at me, and I think he says hi also. He's not licensed. I can't let him talk because he's a talker. He's Siberian Husky. So anyway, catch you later, David. Have a great day. NAZC, and I'm out of here.
Radio check. This is KF8 ZHR.
Connected to CMN Network.
I'm mobile. This is KF8 ZHR.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Rain. 47 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Rain. 47 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1100 hours. Rain. 47 degrees.
W8EAP monitoring. It's 11 a.m. I'm a little bit too early for the lunch gang. I'll have to try back in a few. I suggest Kirby's 12 mile and mound.
Good morning.
W-A-K.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, rain, 47 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGS calling WB8TED. Whiskey Bravo 8 Papa Papa Bravo. Bravo 8 Papa Papa Bravo. You copy KF8FGS.
N-A-W-R-O, good morning, dude.
Yes, good morning, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, sir, I do have a question for you, but is that the operator that you're a little bit concerned about, maybe?
Yeah, his name's Don, and I put a call out to him every few days. I talked to him, it's probably been a month, and he was getting ready for some big surgery. He and I, that's that morning that you were on early, and he and I had been talking for a while, like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And so I just shout out for him every now and then.
Yeah, I copy that. I heard you talk about that earlier today. Yeah, I hope he's okay. You know, who knows, maybe he's admitted getting the care he needs, but it's good you're keeping up on that. Second question I had for you, what I'm sure the answer is yes, but are you participating Saturday in the set?
Yes, I am. I sent a message back to AP, but yes, I am.
Copy that. Got your mark down, trying to, you know, for the scoring, it helps to know who of the newer people on the roster are going to be participating. And I know you're kind of active out there, so do you know any of our newer guys on the bottom part of the roster? I haven't heard from Blue. I wonder if Blue's participating. If there's anyone else you know that you've heard that they're going to participate, let me know.
Roger that. I know that Jason, KJV, he said he was going to be there.
All right, copy. Got him checked off. That's Unit 38-9, November 8th, Kilo Juliet Victor. I got him down. Appreciate it. Thanks. I'll be listening all day. So if you hear any others, let me know. It kind of affects the scoring if we know who's going to be participating in their first set that is currently a member. So appreciate it. Thanks, Dave. N8WRO, after you, sir.
Yeah, will do, and you may need to reset your clock. It's afternoon. I just happened to glance down at the computer screen and see that it's afternoon. Yeah, I did try sending another message through WinLink, through the WinLink program. I thought I copied you on it, but maybe not.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that, because that was going to be my whole focus today was WinLink, but now we got three new members applying, and we want to get those onboarded. So I think I'll probably be doing WinLink tomorrow. But if you sent me one, I will respond. Greatly appreciated. All right, better get back to it. N-A-W-R-O.
Yeah, roger that. And where would I find the current roster? Is that on our website?
You know, it will be a downloadable option after the set on demand on the website, but we're not quite there yet. So I'm going to onboard these last three applicants, and I'll post it on Discord so you'll be able to get it. And that's a good idea. We'll probably recommend everyone, print out a copy once I get it out there. But you'll see it. It'll be right on the regular member chat.
Roger that. 73, KF8FGS.
N-A-W-R-O, clear.
Good afternoon, 1300 hours, rain, 47 degrees.
This is Whiskey Delta 8, Kilo Lima Lima, in the mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Rain, 47 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours, rain, 47 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
currently connected to CMN Network.
Hey, BMI. What's going on this afternoon?
Yeah, headed to get the kids from the bus. Hopefully it stayed dry.
Yeah, what a crummy day this is, huh?
Yeah, I'm supposed to grill dinner tonight too, so see how that goes.
Hopefully the grill's covered.
Unfortunately it's not, so hopefully get a good break in the rain.
Maybe it's a pizza night.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm hoping we'll get a good break in the rain. At least it's not crazy raining. It won't be too bad, but if it starts pouring, yeah, it might be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to rain. Right now, I'm in Troy, actually probably Madison Heights, 11 and 75, and it's just sprinkling. I don't know if it's supposed to rain any harder than this the rest of the night. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'd say I've got a light rain, not quite sprinkles, a little more than sprinkles.
I've got nothing more here that would, I wouldn't stop grilling because of it. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah, the food won't care.
That's right, it'll be just as delicious.
Yeah, it'll be nice and dry underneath the lid.
Yes, it will.
And get some tandoori chicken all marinated. We'll see. Should be good.
For sure. Hey, I got to take a quick call. I'll be back in a minute. KE8RUH.
Hey, BLM.
KE8RUH. Still on the long trek to the bus stop?
Yeah, I'm at the bus stop now. Just waiting for the bus.
Cool, yeah, I'm almost home also. Just about 3-4 miles away.
Yeah, I'm still 30 minutes from home. Bus stop isn't close.
Well, at least you're out of work. You don't have to go back to the office, so that's a good thing.
Yep, at least for today.
Well, it wasn't raining for a little while on my drive, and now it's raining again, so we'll see. I think maybe it'll be on and off like this all night. On the plus side, I put fertilizer down on Monday on my lawn, so it should be growing like wildfire by tomorrow.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet this year. I'm still going strong on the fall for the fall application. Yeah. I was going to do it a few weeks ago, and then I was looking at the weather, and I was like, yeah, it's just going to run off. Put it on now.
Yeah, a few weeks ago in all that heavy rain, it probably would have been problematic.
Yeah, I wanted to seed some areas, too, but then I was like, yeah, that's not going to be a good idea, but The areas I need to seed are where it's always perpetually wet, so probably be fine seeding that any time of the year.
Yeah, I did the weed and seed, and hoping it kills off some of the weeds that I have going, and then the grass will thrive. My front yard is always in rough shape. It's like direct sunlight 100% of the time, and I just struggle with that front lawn. I can't get it to come in good, but my back lawn is fantastic. So it's thick and the depth is good. And it's just that front yard gives me so much trouble.
Yeah, mine was neglected probably for quite a bit, and then when I first moved in, there was I think the place had been unoccupied for about a year, and the grass was about a foot tall, maybe more, the whole yard. So after I closed my house, I spent about 3 nights, I think, there cutting the grass. They had to run over 3 or 4 times just to get it chopped up enough. And, yeah, it was quite an ordeal, but yeah, I've got had tons of molds. I still get tons of molds, but at least have them mostly contained now. But most of it's pretty good. There's towards the back of the yard, it gets quite swampy, so if it's, like right now, if I try to mow back there, I would sink to the bottom of the earth, and then just kind of some areas in the front towards the road that hold water too. So kind of right now it's real rough trying to mow because it's more of a mud fest than a lawn.
Yep, it can be difficult this time of year. I know I have some spots near the back of my yard that hold water also, and there's often times that there's 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row that I can't cut back there because it's just too wet.
Yeah, the mower just tears it up and end up having to drag the mule out and winch the mower out of the mud. I haven't had to do that yet this year, but I have done that in the past.
Yeah, I can imagine. My yard is definitely not big enough that I have a tractor or a mule that would pull it out, but I can see the struggles for sure.
Yeah, I think the zero turn might be a little worse when it gets soggy. It just you try to turn and then you sink in, and then once you start sinking in, you just tear the crap out of it. But, yeah, it is what it is. Gotta work around it. Most of the year I can't do the back corner. And when it's super wet like this, can't do the front corner either.
47 degrees.
Yep. Hey, I'm pulling in the driveway here, so I will. Maybe I'll catch up with you tomorrow on the drive home. This is KERUH. Have a good night. Hopefully the rain stops so you can barbecue.
All right. This is 7-3. This is ABLA.
Connected to CMN Network.
N-A-W-R-O. KF-8, FGS, monitoring. KF-8, FGS, W-8-R-I-T. Good afternoon, how are you?
I don't think we've chatted before. The name here is Dave. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Dave. Send me your call once again a little slower, please.
Okay, sure. And the call here is W-A-R-I-T, Whiskey 8, Romeo, India, Tango. Over.
Roger that. Roger that. And again, this is KF8FTS. That's finding good signal. And my name is David.
Okay, very good. That's easy enough to remember. Nice to meet you there, Dave. And, yeah, I do like that silly suffix there, finding good signals. Okay. Well, some of my other friends, I put mine, well, just for a silly one, a really intelligent thought, but some of my other friends have commented, well, it could be rookie in training.
Yeah, that fits you, Dave. KCKJL.
Cujo, we hear you there.
Yeah, hi, Tom. And as a matter of fact, yeah, I heard Arpad make mention about that for you. Cujo. Very good. That's also kind of fitting. Anyways, well, tell me, you got a new call sign, so I want to say welcome to the hobby. Tell me, what sort of aspects of the hobby, like, most interest you from what you know of so far? I've been licensed, though, probably about 25 years or so myself. And I'm still finding that there's areas of a hobby to enjoy that I've never experienced before.
Yeah, well, I was involved back in the late 60s and just got back involved here this past summer and started studying and got my technician in December last year and working on the general now. Building things. I like to build things. I kind of figured I'd be building kits, and then I find out there's no more tubes. It's all software-defined radios, and so I built some antennas, and I got involved with the ARPSC, try to have a little bit of public involvement, you know, in the community, and what have you. And met a nice bunch of guys over there. Met a nice bunch of guys at the Hazel Park Radio Club, and what have you. So where are you at, and what are you running?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Here. Let's see. Well, I'm just right now using my bail here. This is the UU5RM. Put a few other on the laptop. Watching a couple of YouTube videos and such. And heard your call to us. I said, well, I'll just grab it here. And I am located in St. Clair Shores. Well, I've got a few hits that I've got to see about a summer myself over the weekend. And I have one other, well, I wouldn't say a hit, but a little side project that I've got to see about getting up a little bit late in doing so. I wanted to be out, you know, have it set up a little bit prior, but it's not a major thing here. I picked up from a crowdfunding source. It's called the Discovery Dish. And I want to be able to use that with my FDR to listen to the CPDLC, at least the one-way communications that I'm able to hear on the one band via satellite, Inmar satellite. So like I say, I'm in St. Clair Shore, so east side myself here. Tom, throw it over to you.
Oh, don't throw too hard. I need to be off on medical again. Hey, Dave. Finding good signals. Yeah, you ready for Saturday's set? Are you doing that?
Yeah, I was going to do it, and I am going to do it. I was just in the middle of programming the different channels and frequencies and repeaters, what have you, that Mike wanted us to use. I figured I'd just put it as a zone. in my DM32, so I'm in the middle of that. But the code plug that he that I'm looking at that I downloaded off of the site is it's different. So I'm just having to enter them all one at a time. I couldn't cut and paste.
Well, I'll pass it over to Tom. Just want to let you know, Dave, that I probably might be using the very same code plug that you're referring to. Well, actually, I think there are two up on the website. I think Brian and Cliff have one. You can use BVR and then MECAF. I'm using Cliff. Maybe a couple modifications, but nothing major. I'm just using his stock here. Tom, you're a lot more versed in code plugs than I am. And I am still having difficulty, so. Well, no, I couldn't say that with Cliff. You know, that's working fine for me. Except for the one time, I don't know, when I was talking with you, and I ended up on event one for some reason. I don't know how the heck they changed all the talk loops that it did, so I got it reversed. But, Tom, you'll be able to help Dave more than I will in the code plug here, so over to you.
KCK Joe. So that's yes. I mean, are you trying to add another zone on there, or because that code plug from either Cliff or Brian are pretty thorough. So both of them should work up substantially well for you. What kind of issues are you having?
Well, I don't know if I'm having issues, but there was some particular frequencies with channels and what have you that the command over at the ARPSC wanted us to utilize, you know, Bravo 1 and Alpha 1 and Alpha 2 and all this. And so it's, I opened up the file that I got off the website, and it's an Excel file. And so I couldn't just add it in to, code plug. I did download the code plug that Cliff had, and it's wonderful. I got that on my DM32, but I'm just trying to add these 30 different frequencies that are all named with you know, you had code names Alpha, Delta, Bravo, you know, Echo, and different names like that. And they seemed at the last in-person meeting, it seemed to be important to them that. That we do that. KF8 FGS for ID.
W8R, let me just ask a quick question of these days. For the assigned gas, I do not know Alpha 1, what that frequency would correspond to, but is it already in the current code plug that maybe you could just rename, or load the, well, I should say rename the title for it? Instead of adding them, I'm just kind of curious, are you certain that they are not already located inside the code plug itself?
Well, I'm thinking that most of them probably are, but I didn't know how to, I wanted to put all of these into a particular zone, into a separate zone. So during the set, I don't got to be flipping from zone to zone. I can just have them all, you know, in the single zone and be able to access them. So they probably all are in the other code plug. Do you have a suggestion as how I could duplicate them without a lot of effort?
Well, if they're already in the radio, if you create a new zone and call it set or something like that, and then for that new zone, you have all the channels on the left-hand side, and you find those ones that cross-reference to Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and so forth, and you put them and you move those over to the from available to used, and then if you go to that actual channel and rename it, instead of being K8FBI 442600, you would put in parentheses in the beginning, Bravo 1, and then for 147.2, that would be Alpha, and so forth. Does that make any sense, Dave?
Yeah, I caught most of that. There's a lot of static in the line, but I caught most of that. I'll give that a try before. I'm about, I don't know, I got about, six or eight of them put in. Like I say, I was going to just, you know, use different names for them and then make a separate zone. But let me look at that a little bit better. But I am getting quite a bit of static on your transmission.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was on the Central Michigan Detroit site, and I just moved over to FBI Warren. So you might be hearing me a little bit better now. I'm over here at like Livernois and Square Lake or Long Lake or something like that.
Greatly improved, greatly improved. Can you say again what you described?
Yeah, so find in the code plug that you currently have, find the WAAMIC. Might be listed as MC Sky or something like that. I'm not sure how Cliff has it written in there, or maybe WAAMAC. That's what it should be. And that should be 147.2. So you can put a parenthesis at the beginning of that, Alpha 1. And then for the Warren Receive site, 442.600, that would be Bravo. And then Charlie is KEAWYN, which is 442.550, which is the double nickel. So, and just find those and just rename them. And then create your zone, and then you'll find your Alpha, Bravo, Charlie kind of thing. And it should be at the top of the list, since it goes in alphabetical order that way.
Hey, roger that. Yeah, I had, like I say, I'm sure they are. Let me finish up on this this one channel info page, get this out of the way, and then I got the code plug open. So I'll go over to the zone to see what they have.
And 32 days also to make sure that you rename it differently than the original file name too. That way you can keep them separate too from what you've worked on as you're updating them. And then that way if you need to, you can always go back to the very original from Cliff and then just upload that and know that that one is good. But that way you've got a known good working backup code plug. Computer IP.
Yeah, thanks for the tip. I'll figure something out for sure. But yeah, they got all the like you say, Cliff's code plug is pretty, quite detailed. There's probably 225 or so frequencies that he's got in here. So we'll give it a go. Let's see what we can find out.
Yeah, that's the best bet. I said I haven't even changed mine yet. I got so many different radios, so many different code plugs. I got to get them all set up. I mean, I have 147.2 in my mobile in the interceptor, but it's just listed as WA8MAC, which I know Alpha 1, and then or Alpha, and then Channel Bravo is going to be the Warren repeater 442.600. So that's already in there. And having a dual display, I can swap. Start one and then move over to the other and then move back to another one. I don't think we're doing DMR, so I think we'll be okay. It's going to be the whole wind link issue that I'm going to have a problem with.
FAFTS. Yeah, I was monkeying around with the wind link this morning, and I went ahead and sent the 214 over to John and to Tim, and we'll see if they respond back to the WinLink. And, yeah, it's the WinLink is challenging for, you know, trying to figure out how to navigate the thing, for sure. But, all right, well, thank you very much. I'm going to get back to this. Better half will be home in a half hour, so I'd like to be done when she gets home, if you understand where I'm coming from. KF8FGS 73.
Have a good one, Dave. 73 from KCKGO. W8RIT. Gotta get an external for that DM32.
Yes, I do, but I'm actually not using that, so I could probably use another one for this.
Well, I got an adapter that goes on top of the DM32, and when I plug it into it, I used to have it connect to a external with a BNC connection. But I have that now. That antenna is now my interceptor. So I'm just running the regular rubber duck on it.
Yes, well, I've got quite a few projects to do, so I'm going to be a busy boy. So it might be, I've got to see about one for the Discovery Dish, which I'm kind of late in doing, so I actually wanted to have it out and set up already here, but I'm going to run the store and go grab some PVC to mount it up and get it aimed, put together. That won't be too long. Probably, you know, 6 thumb screws to put the thing together, and you put the feed horn through and tighten it down and call it good, and then just start aiming it. So that'll be another avenue of something new to do in radio that I haven't done before.
Well, there you go. A new project. A new adventure. And it's, I got my UHF-EHF Yagi mounted up in the attic, and I got LMR 400 going down to the room just below it. And it's got a little radio attached to it because I put my Lingo in my car. You know, so I just got like this little 25-watt mobile unit. You know, that just sits up there. Got the software for it, so I got to program that, so I can reach your 47Q up there.
I was going to ask you, too, for your black and white did it come with any cabling, you know, for your radios set up for you to go? And then also, I think that you have a center console, kind of like the work band, correct? Something along the lines of that?
For the interceptor, the Alenco is mounted to the side of the center metal set of consoles, you know, that has the siren used on it. And then my Motorola sits on top of it until I get a computer mount. And once I get a computer mount, then I put my laptop in there.
I was like wondering if you had like any of the power wiring, you know, ready to go. Is it a lot bad in place, you know, so that way you can just plug it into your radio. But I was also wondering as far as the center console, because I've seen some people do them, you know, from commercial products, basically where they would put the radio, mostly commercial radios, you know, whether it be Motorola or Kenwood, but they would usually end up plush mounting it. Right into the console. I was just curious if you had anything kind of like that.
Gone that far yet.
I guess you're making up for me being Mr. Noisy.
being kind of like I was when I first got licensed here, operating extra class portable. not a good combination so much here.
Well, with my interceptor, I wasn't really worried about aesthetics. You know, all the power cables are all shoved underneath the console. I mean, it connects up into the back behind the seat where the main power tap is at, the main ground, off the battery and the inline fuse, which is 200 amps. So that's not hurting anything. It's a 200 amp breaker, as a matter of fact. And I just ran it, you know, along the trim with one power cable, cut it at the end and spliced it in there, and it's all shoved underneath the console. If you open it up, there's a mess of wires in there already. So that's all I did. But they're out of the way. My feet don't hit them. The antenna cables are out of the way. So everything's pretty much tucked in where it's not being disturbed.
Yep, still pretty cool to have a lot of ways to accessorize now. Well, it's kind of up in the air for me here for the weekend. I don't know, I have to check my niece. I may or may not be going to towards Grand Rapids for her house over the weekend. But still have to find out if I'll be going or not. So I'm uncertain about, you know, doing any operation with the set and all that. So anyways.
Well, on Saturday, I set us from 8 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can listen in on it. As, you know, some of us are deployed and others are doing other tasks. So I won't know my total appointment until Saturday morning. So I'll be up bright and early for that. And instead of running upstairs and listening to the radio there, on my All-Star node on and linked into Macomb. And then from there I can, whatever they send me to do, I can get in my car and take off from there, get into Warren. You know, like I said, if not, I can use my All-Star node when I switch over. But we'll see how it goes.
How many people do you think are going to be participating? Maybe 20 to 30 or so, or is that being a little bit too much? I'm talking county-wise, too, though.
Well, there's quite a few of us that are deployable. The whole group is probably about between 30 and 35 members. Some are new and haven't gone through their pass book yet to reach level one, the FDA level one, and have the ability to be deployable. Another reason why I bought that vehicle is so they can shoot me wherever I gotta go.
And you can do it quickly.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. All road rules apply. I just go to where they tell me to go. And hang out there, do my task, report in, and go to the next to make sure I fill out my ICS 214, which is basically the shift report. So, got the camera, got the date code. So, I got my laptop for WinLink. I have a few forms of internet so I can do it that way, or I could try to get it to my radio via Telnet, but I have various communication abilities.
WALT, I haven't messed around with WinLink yet, but, you know, seen some videos, and mostly of him doing it via HF, and like you mentioned earlier, you said you're going to have the problem, but I'm just kind of curious, what area do you think you're going to have a problem in?
Oh, that's the nice thing about the set, is you don't know where you're going until you're told to go somewhere, if you go somewhere. So, I mean, when there's an actual emergency, you don't know what you're doing until they tell you where you need to be. So, it's a gamble of you know, they're going to send me down to the south side of the county, or they're going to keep me in the north end, you know. Fall set, I was in Richmond and Armada, so, and then South Memphis, but I can go anywhere. You know, like I said, it all depends on where they need me. That's the whole purpose of the of this simulation training, more or less. That's what the SET stands for, State Emergency Training, or Simulated Emergency Training, and it is statewide. So there's a lot, you know, all the counties are involved.
Oh, no, no, no. I thought you, when we were talking with the other day, I thought you had made mention something to the effect that you were expecting to have a problem with operating with some part of Winland.
Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, yeah. That's because I use a Baofeng UV 5R. For that, you know, if I use it through RF, or I could do it through Telnet, which is internet. So as long as I have unlinked capabilities, I can do it either way. So we'll try it both ways and see what happens. Figure out when we go, you know, figure out that day. That's probably something I'll check out, tomorrow night or Friday night when I get home. So I'm all, because everything's got to be prepped for Saturday. I got a 3,000 watt inverter that I can hook right up to the power legs and run everything off of that.
Okay, but no, I meant when earlier when we were talking with the other Dave, I thought you had made some comment that you said something about that you were expecting to have some problem or issue when you were using a laptop to operate Winlink. I thought, you know, led me to believe that you were going to, you weren't uncertain or how to operate Winlink with one part or half an issue with this. That's what I thought.
Oh, I have no problems with, you know, operating Winlink. And I said I just might get a little hectic trying to do it via RF instead of through IP. That's where the issue lies. You know, so this is a good way to test out my RF capabilities on the road.
Okay, gotcha, yeah, because then you'd have to, you know, be able to connect. I don't know if you're going to have multiple stations or anything like that, but then you'd have to do appropriate frequency, and yeah, I got to while you're driving along. Okay. Instead of just trying to see the computer. Well, it's a little bit simpler, but I have internet at that time, so we can set up our own. Which, by the way, is another topic I got to wait to speak with when here in Dakota. I was sitting here just, you know, watch some videos. I got to see about working on my, not my code plug, but my other radio program. I think I'm just going to start off fresh. I got a lot of good the repeater book and, you know, various things, you know, website for the repeater coordination, see if I can find out what some of these frequencies that I have listed in that are ages old. So I think, you know what, I'm just going to store that off to the side and start off fresh. You know, I've got some, like, you know, even from the, W8IRF, you know, so that no longer exists. So I'm like, you know, just stop fretting with this old stuff and just,
man, that radio sucks with that horrible whine.
But I got to see about creating a nice list that I can carry with me, because it sure is nice to have something that's alphanumeric, which the which that radio does not have with so many frequencies.
He talks a long time.
Be handy, so I know what's what. Because like I said, I've got, you know, there's quite a few in there that I've got there that I've got for receiving, like, you know, non-answer. So I know what those are. Then there's some. You know, just some repeaters that I probably have put in there when I maybe, I don't know, traveled up to Flint or Saginaw or Toledo or something that I stored in there. And I'm like, yeah, I just need to get rid of them because they may have changed.
Meanwhile, back on the farm.
You know, that way I can have it neat and orderly and know what's what.
All right, Dave, you're getting at the end of your string there. You're getting your breaking up. Plus, I got a phone call in, so I'll talk to you later. KKKKO, 7300 final.
Okay, 7300 final. I'm over here to stop. What's wrong with the stuff around the back? So it may have been moving around that area here. So, anyways, yeah, catch you later. Have a good evening. W8RAD.
NATBF, NATBF, KKKJO, Dakota, you out there?
NATBF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Generator off at that Shelby generator there in your town, and I had me a nice sandwich at the doghouse.
Yeah, I like the doghouse. Sammy does good work over there.
Yeah, it was around like 2:33. It wasn't too crowded, but I think there's only one person there. She's behind the bar. I'm not sure if that was her or not. But she did a good job. Tasted good. I don't know who was cooking, but it was good.
So she was short with salt and pepper hair, with the tattoos on her arms. Yeah, that's Tammy.
No, this had to be somebody else. They had to be a little younger than that, so... But I had the Philly steak and cheese, and man, that was good.
Oh, yeah, she does good. And their pizzas are pretty phenomenal, too. Is that you, Dakota, out there? KKKJO.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
All right, I suppose we could call him unit number 42, Tom. He's now on the roster.
Cool beans. All I gotta do now is get your 100 and 200 and all that other neat stuff done. You probably already got Sky One.
I don't know. I think Sky One is in person, right? Because I have 100, 200, 700, 800, and then basic MCOM, intermediate MCOM, but I don't have Sky One yet.
You can do that online. We can hook you up with that, but let's worry about all that after the set. But, yeah, just you can, you know, again, after the set, just if you want, just email me your certs. I'll have your ticket, and I'll get you a real task book. I know I sent you one, I think, last year, but I'll get you a personalized one, you know, maybe the next meeting or something, and we'll get all your certs on board on the system, and you'll be on your way. Tom, over to you. Hey, brother, I think you just need 200, right?
Yeah, I just need 200, and then I'll be good to go. You know, I'm going to try to do that tonight. I'm going to bring my laptop in, try to see how much I can get done. Now that the website's back up, I figured out. And I'll do it while the doggies are outside.
All right, good. Yeah, I was looking at the Skywarn stuff today, and it was the only stuff I was finding was in person, and I saw it last week, and I missed the McComb one. So, yeah, I'll shoot you an email to him, and then just let me know what I got to do, and then I'll attach all my certs with it.
Copy that. Yeah, you can do that anytime convenient, no rush. I mean, everyone's got like 6 months to get their level one, but if you already got certs, you might as well email them, and we'll just get them on board. And, yeah, we'll take care of all that, so whenever you can. And, yeah, that's good. I'm looking at the roster now. This is nice. Tom, we get any more, we're going to have to go to page 2 on the roster. It's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. And then, Dakota, I'll figure out, I like that 150. I want to change that out of from my Elinco that's in the car now. So I'll figure out some type of payment plan for you.
Yeah, it's nothing crazy. It's just the dual band analog, and it's got the ASP filter on it, which is really cool, especially for this kind of stuff. If you're doing any simplex, it cleans up the static. And, Tim, did I miss, is it in the packet you sent me of, like, level 1, level 2 requirements? I'm sure it is. I probably just can't find it.
Yeah, it should be in that task book I sent you, but then again, I don't remember if I sent you the complete one. I might have just sent you, like, level 1. But, you know, I'll get that to you. What I'll do is after the set, I usually just send one in the mail. It's just easier. It's a, you know, with your name on it and everything, and that'll be everything. I'll even give you level 3. Some of the guys go crazy with level 3, but that's a lot there. I've got level 2 myself right now, and then they're also talking about bringing Oxcom training. Something else I was going to say, I forgot. Go ahead, Tom, I'll think about it.
Well, don't think too hard. We need that brain on Saturday. And I just pulled up in front of the house. And, of course, Tim, you know my dog, and she's licking the window. So I got to get in there before she tears up the curtains. I'll say 73 until I get inside, then I'll go in the All-Star or something. Talk soon. Casey, kid you.
All right, Tom, we'll catch you later.
Catch you later, Tom. Yeah, that was the other thing. That radio, I didn't know you were going to get it. That's the radio I'm talking on now, and I can vouch for it. That ASP is awesome. NAWRO. Go ahead, Dakota.
That it is. Yeah, very good analog audio quality. But, yeah, I think ideally I would like to become level 2, so I'll check the boxes and do that. And then Oxcom definitely piques my interest.
So on the website, I forget if it's on the secure side or the unsecured side, but there is a copy, a generic copy of the task book. So feel free to, you know, download that PDF. And it's got everything.
Let me see if I can lay eyes on it.
On the top ribbon under resources, scroll all the way down in the documents, and you should see new member packet.
B2 full passbook.
Bingo, that's the one. Download that bad boy, and it's got all the way up to level 3 in it.
All right, so I'm lacking Skywarn. I see that. All right. Yeah, I'll send you an email on that one, too.
All righty, sounds good. All right, I've been sitting at the desk too long. I'm going to get some dinner and get outside and get some work done. Have a good night. We'll talk soon. NAWRO, after you, sir.
All right, Sam. Have a good night. We'll talk soon. And, yeah, looking forward to it. NAWBF.
Oh, sola mio.
F-A-D-I-C.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
F-A-D-I-C.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees.
Gay, GMR, and ADDF.
Hunting hogs?
I had my radio turned on like a moron. What'd you say?
I just wondered if you're hunting hogs or taking a break in this damn chilly stuff.
Nope, I'm playing Super Dad. I'm cooking mac and cheese and changing butts. And got some new toys showed up today. I got my new FPV goggles, so I'm setting those up. And my HamCube Mini showed up yesterday, and I haven't even had a chance to play with it, so I'm going to start messing with that.
Well, there you go. Holy cow, everywhere I'm going today is just chock full of construction. And now they won't let me make a left turn anywhere. So how the hell do I get where I need to go? Ugh, man.
Michigan's native flowers blooming in full force.
Yeah, I'm here in the Mad Heights. They've got John R. tore up at least from 12 all the way to 11, and it might go beyond 11, and it might go north of 12. I don't know. And no left turn, so I can't get into anything. I got to get into something on the left, so I'm going to have to go past and circle back, or I don't know. It won't let me make a left even on the main road, so I can't even turn left and circle back to make a right. So it's going to be a pain in my dupa.
Is this one of those two rights, make a left situations?
Yeah, that or two wrongs, make a right. I don't know. But so I guess I'll just pass it, and then I'll go loop around in the subdivision, and I don't know what else you're supposed to do. Not patronize any of the businesses on the east side of the road, unless you're heading northbound.
I was going to ask what you were doing over there, but I think that just answered my question. You're on a food run.
That's right, and the food I'm choosing is going to give me the run, so it's like a double whammy.
Indian or Thai?
No, I'm kidding. I'm getting good, wholesome American food. I'm going to the Tellway. I don't know if you have any experience with the Tellway, but it's one of these old school, like, let's see here. What do? I think I can go past and turn in. Boy, if I can, I'm going to be mad. But I think it's one of these old school, like, 50s hamburger joints where they smash the little burgers in the grill and put them on a bun, and you buy, like, four for, like, you know, a certain price or... But they got the best conies, and I had a hankering for conies.
I feel like I've heard that name before, but I've never been. I know that for a fact. And those smash burgers are 95% of the reason why I bought a Blackstone griddle.
That and pancakes. There you go. All right. Looks like I'm going to be able to get in here, so I'm going to pay attention to all this construction. I'll be back. W8FU.
All right. Good luck. And I don't know if I've ever made pancakes on my Blackstone. I think I tried. No, I tried doing a cookie skillet on my Traeger, and it did not taste good.
Yeah, they make all kinds of sizes of those grills, too, don't they?
Oh no, a priority waste truck! Stay away! Stay away!
Yeah, if they're out this late, they're not happy.
I'm here. Gotta jump out. Be back.
Yeah, Dave, they make, I used to have a 17-inch for camping, single burner. That thing was awesome. And the one I have now is a 28-inch. Maybe 36-inch? I don't know. I wish I would have bought the bigger one. I always run out of room.
KF8S. Yeah, I haven't invested in a new barbecue grill or anything. Just, you don't eat enough. I would be the only one eating it, so you have to invite people over, I guess.
One side, change the diaper.
Roger.
All right. Can't wait till that's over with.
Yep. I had a dog that I had to change diapers for. That was the last time I had to do diapers. By the way, how is this making it into the repeater? Because it's a little HT amp thingy on my 890.
This is
Zulu
530. You're making it into the repeater.
You sound great, Dave, and I have no idea who was just trying to break in there, but that was terrible. Try again.
It was Tango Quebec. Thanks for letting me know.
Your ears work better than mine do.
Oh, 890. He's got the noise canceling. It like filters stuff out. It's kind of cool. First time I tried that.
It does look like a good radio.
Truth be told, it does better than my DM32. I was having signal loss on mine when I was using it on the repeater for the DMR, but then the 890 was, so the 890 was less signal, but was less data loss, so I don't know how to read that. Maybe it was just the antenna I had on the DM32, because most people are fine in it.
I think those DM32s are just kind of weird and quirky.
Yeah, I mean, they did do a lot of, well, I don't say they did a lot. From what I read, they did work really hard to get the 890's frequency stabilization better. So, but take that as a grain of salt, because N6WY, I think you've talked to him, yet another Dave. he has an 890 and he has all kinds of trouble, but he's going in through a hot spot, so I don't know. Like I said, take that a grain of salt.
Well, yeah, if he's going through a hot spot, I wouldn't think that's related to the radio's receiver, right?
Yeah, you have to introduce other factors like network latency and, you know, going through whatever Brandmaster's got for, like, messaging, you know, MQTT. I'm sure it's like MQTT or something. So then it's got to go to whatever MI5's using, right? So all kinds of things could go wrong there.
Yeah, like my data center who had a switch die, so I guess took my whole facility, all my facilities down.
So you guys have your own data center, or are you guys hybrid?
Can't disclose too much over the air, but we have a blend.
Yeah, I'm not too. On the thing I'm starting to see a trend of So I don't know how, you don't have to comment about that if it's work stuff, but I'm starting to see a trend that the AI costs are starting to, you know, beat up some of these companies now. Now they're starting to second guess their layoffs and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. Everything's going to come full circle. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, not realizing how much it's going to cost in the long run.
Yeah, the honeymoon period is over because a lot of the providers were subsidizing, you know, to get you addicted to it. So, like, instead of, you know, those $20 subscriptions, we're basically subsidizing, like, you know, thousands of dollars in compute. So now they're starting to be the real cost. You know, we're going to give you, if you pay $20, you're going to get $20 worth of compute. So you're going to run out fast.
Yeah, we've, one guy uses Gemini a little bit. I'm not a fan at all. And then, depends on what I'm doing. I still like chat. I'm not going to lie. Chat and I get along. Probably because I've been using it for so long. But, I like it a lot for, I basically treat it like Google, right? I tell it to go find things I'm too lazy to read, compile things I'm too lazy to compile. But for presentations and, like, data and stuff like that, Claude's the hands-down winner.
Yeah, when you say chat, that's really OpenAI or GPT, yeah. And then, Gemini. So here's the thing I like about Google. So if you sign up for their $20 plan, they give you your email and your storage. They give you that, and you have to go and find out how to do this. But if you go into their developer account, and if you have AI Pro and you're a developer, you can sign up for $10 in monthly credits. So effectively, you know, you pay $20 up front, they give you $10 in compute credits per month that you can use for anything. You can use it for spinning up a VM. You could use it for AI token costs. I think that's pretty cool to do that. So, but then you have the same thing where it limits you after a certain while, right? So you get to a certain point, and then you can choose whether you want to go pay as you go if you use over your limits.
Is that what they're marketing as Google One, or does Google One come with that?
Charlie's Echo Tango Quebec.
Yeah, I believe it's Google One. Go ahead, Echo Tango Quebec.
That was me earlier giving a signal report saying that someone had a good signal. I wasn't too paying attention on who it was. Either way, I had to finish the sandwich before I could get on the radio again.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I knew it was you. I heard your call. So there you go. But yeah, Dakota, it was. It's part of it. I don't know if it's part of Google One, but if you do like AI Pro or whatever, then it's like you get Google One. I don't remember what it is. My subscription, I had paid for a year, last year, right? So I had a year of, and then it ran out. So I had to figure out how to renew, and, you know, they had their Google conference this week, so I think they made some changes.
I'll have to shop that, maybe just for personal use, but
okay,
I'm sure
that's
my corporate ones for the things I need.
KF8S, I heard somebody in there, so I'll hand it to you. In a moment here. The moral of the story is try them all. If you're just in the research phase of stuff, just try them all and see what works for you. Go ahead, Breaking Station.
I was just wondering what your token usage is like on there with the code generation. I often find myself switching between ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini, depending on the size of the project I'm working on and how much money I want to phase, but yeah, typically you can pull that off by just asking whatever you're working with to write a file, say, hey, write general instructions and a checkpoint for this project into a file called agents.md for markdown, and then you can just hand it off to the next agent. It's pretty funny how you can save money that way. But yeah, I'm wondering what your token usage is like there with Gemini.
Yeah, I don't have a number amount, but, like, I'll use anti-gravity, and then it'll tell you, like, you know, you reached your five-hour limit or whatever. Or I'll use, I've been using something called Hermes agent, and it does all that token compressing and, you know, all that the context compression and all that stuff. So I'd say I would get, like, I can go a full 5 hours. Before, you know, I'll go 5 hours, and it will hit the limit. But that's not me being in front of it the entire time. It's like, do a little bit, walk away, do a little bit, walk away. So, but, yeah, and then you use the big models to do your plans, and then you use the smaller ones, like the flash models and stuff, for your actual work, and I think that works better. Back to you.
All right, you guys can continue your queue, so this is the first time I've actually seen a signal coming from the KC8YGT repeater out towards, I think, Benton Hill. So I just wanted to chime in there and add to the conversation. But 73 gentlemen, this is KF8 FFQ. The name is Fred.
Connected to CMN Network.
I was going to see if Dakota picked it up, but yeah, no, nice hearing you. Yeah, this whole AI stuff, it's like just so much to digest with it. Go ahead, Dakota.
Hi, Fred. You got Dakota and Dave here. Feel free to jump in anytime. This is, we're usually nerding out about something over here.
Yeah, I'm just sitting in the parking lot, drop my kids off. Anytime you hear me on here, I drop my kids off somewhere.
I'm eating my mac and cheese right now. That's why you hear yelling in the background. And I ordered that ham cube mini, so I'm going to start playing with that tonight.
Was it called ham cube mini?
Otherwise known as CW Pokemon.
CW Pokemon sounds like fun, KF8 FFQ.
Oh, you're gonna try to learn CW?
It was a little bit of double there, I think, KF8 FFQ. And yeah, Dave, I'm gonna see what I can do. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but I feel like this is probably the better way for me to learn it instead of using my phone. I think it was KF8 FFQ. Go ahead.
Sorry to chirp in again, but yeah, those ham cubes are fun. I got one myself, and the interesting thing is that you can use those, along with iambic key or side paddles or whatever you want to practice it with. The only thing I've seen it doesn't work very well with are pugs. It just doesn't know how to decode the bits on those. But yeah, that's cool. Good for you. CW Pokemon. I had a laugh when I saw that on the box.
Is it able to decode with a straight key?
If you get the pro version, it'll even decode CW signals from a transceiver.
Well, that's how the original decoders were. It was just an audio decoder. Okay. Because I know the iambic is no problem because it's, you know, set and generated and it's consistent. I get bugs. I use a bug. I still use a bug. But, yeah, your dits get... are completely different from your dyes. City.
Well, I'm as novice gets when it comes to CW, so I won't be able to tell the difference, but it did come with a iambic key. I bought the kit that came with an iambic key.
I have a question. Why Pokemon? What's that got to do with it?
Gotta catch them all. gotta learn them all.
All the dits and dahs.
Be banging out 40 words a minute in no time. I find it funny that he's a novice at CW, and I had to know CW to be a novice. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Or Ishkmo.
How fast can you see the quick brown fox?
Now? Probably about 9 to 10 words a minute. My CQ is the fastest at 17, but then I got to learn not to send the CQs at 17 words a minute, because when they come back, it's like 10, 11. I, unlike many old-timers here, learned CW just to pass the test. I did not use it on a regular basis. Most I used CW was after I passed my technician and wanted general. I started getting into CW bands and banging to just to learn it. And I took my CW test for general. I passed it on my fourth try, so never made the 20 word extra.
Yeah, I would have had my general back in the 90s if I could get 13 words per minute. I couldn't do it.
You know, if you learned with Gordon West, like I did, that 13 was tough to get. Realized, wait a minute, these are like musical notes, and it's got a rhythm to it, and I play bass, and I know music. I played music since eighth grade, and when I started looking at it as learning a song, oh.
Yeah, I wish somebody would have told me that back then, because, yeah, now I'm too old. I tried. My daughter, I bet you she could do it. She's just not interested. I've been trying to encourage her to learn, you know, because she's one of those people that can listen to a song and she can play it on the piano. So I'm certain she could learn CW.
Yeah, me and my oldest son would get together and just have the stereo on, and he'd grab his guitar, so I'd grab my bass and I'd start playing along. And he goes, "How do you do that?" And it's like, I don't know. You find the root, and you know that there's, in like popular music, there's only three patterns that they play. And it's like country's a 1 and a 5, rock and roll is 1, 4, 5, blues is 1, 4, 5. So if you know where you're starting, it just, you know where it goes automatically after doing it so much. It was the same thing with that. I just never pursued it because I had really no interest in pounding brass. I liked to talk to people. That's why I was such a big AM-er for a long time. Anyway,
I
didn't mean to
hijack
the thread, so WQ.
I mean, I talk here, that's fine, but no, I don't like, the sparkle on HF has lost its magic for me, let's put it that way, when it comes to just talking.
I got heavily into AM in the 2000s, and their typical transmission, we called them buzzards, because if you didn't talk at least 20 minutes before you unkeyed, you got run off that frequency.
Yeah,
believe me,
hear,
cool around from 3880 to 3890 on a Saturday night. Starting around 9 o'clock, and you listen to them guys with the big iron, the big kilowatt converted broadcast transmitters.
Yeah, we doubled and said the same thing. There's some guys at, like, the top of the band, or the, what do you call it, bottom of the band, top of the band, that they're there every once in a while.
The best bands for listening to AM are 75 and 40. And I was a 75 meter guy, so it's like 3880 to 3890. And you got guys like WA1HELR and K4. Was it K4VYZ? Don. There's a bunch of them out there. The other one is, I can't remember his call. He's got a beautiful station, though. But his wife records his IDs for him, and he just puts them in the radio, and when it's time to ID, he doesn't ID, his wife IDs for him.
The guy, I heard he was out in New York. He said he was in New York or something like that.
I have to listen. I know HELR was out of Skowhegan, Maine. And then he lived in Massachusetts for a while. The guy had a full AM station. And we're talking a separate transmitter and receiver, big stuff. I think he had Collins. And so it was a hearse, a Cadillac hearse in the back. And he had this hearse jacked up with a tar heel on it. He called it the Cadaver Lack. He used to volunteer his time at WBCQ, the planet, the Tim Weimer shortwave station. He just gave his time for free to keep the station on the air.
Yeah, now they're tearing down AM stations. I think there was one in Tennessee, like, you know, they had those storms, and it was like, well, we're not going to put it back up.
Well, when it, I don't remember the hurricane, but it really tore through Cuba, and it took Radio Habana, the 6 kilohertz antenna off the air, and they said they weren't replacing it. They didn't have the money to replace it. Destroyed the transmitter building, and because they had the most English service on that one.
Radio Banana.
Habana. Habana.
I have a banana for sale. Hey.
Still haven't got my HF antenna back up after the tree fell on the house, so gotta get this done this summer.
Yep, memories of WA1HLR. No kids, no libs, no space cadets. Good stuff. Anywho, pulling up at home with the Vittles. WAW.
There you go. No first timers, no school bus riders, only quality cues. Kids and your fancy phonetics. Anyway, I'm going to go find something to eat. WC80, good evening, gentlemen.
Talk to you later. I'm just reading here. AFAS.
Good evening, 1900 hours, cloudy, 48 degrees.
KF8FQN, KF8FQN, NATZR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQN, KF8FQN, NATZR calling. KF8FGS, KF8FGS, NATZR. N8BPA, N8BRAVO-PAPA-ALPHA, NABZR.
Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 46 degrees.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect from that. At the last set, I just got my DMR working. I just got it working that day. So I don't know if I heard all the communications from ARPSC guys. I don't know if I heard everything, so it was kind of confusing, but it's the first time I had the radio working. Over.
Hey, Brian, I think you slid over to FBI. Darren's still over on Statewide 1. NAWRO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
K8FQN. K8FQN. This is NAEZR.
Good evening. 21 hours. Cloudy. 46 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours, cloudy, 46 degrees.
Watching Stu and Dave Do America, episode 13.
Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 46 degrees.